torches are thrown, the signals are given, and we welcome
the Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O.
And we're back!
What day is this?
It's Wednesday!
I think I know what people want to hear when they first wake up.
Get up, go to work!
The best of radio.
It is a ridiculous waste of time! With no merit or meaning or lasting benefit on society. It's like a drain of global spiritual energy.
What do you want to do with your life?
Let's begin today's Wednesday show.
Today is Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Okay. Welcome to the show, everybody. We're live on a beautiful Wednesday, June 14th. It is 6:07.
High today of 92 degrees.
Yeah, that's like nothing.
92 degrees.
I'm serious. Yesterday, it was in the 90s. It was a typical hot summer day, and it felt so nice.
Yeah?
Ever since we got back from Phoenix.
Says you.
Really? You don't think... It really
says you.
It feels like 70 degrees outside when it's 90.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Big show today. How you doing out there, Starmie? Be a part of the show with us. 505-585-LIVE. You can text into the show. We're on Facebook Live. You can watch and listen to the show.
Trying a new angle.
Yeah. You get my side back. View.
I'm trying, man. People are like, I miss Dex's face when we were in Arizona, you know? Had a different face.
Did they shut off our webcam? Is that done? I don't see the light, the little blue light on it, so.
Oh, you're right.
I think they might have disconnected that.
Let me go look.
Because you used to be able to see my face, now you can't. Which is probably a good thing.
No, it's never right a good that. Thing. I'm Never old. A good thing.
Sure it is, man. I'm old and wrinkly, man.
You know, we go away for a few days and come back and everything changes.
Everything changes!
You look amazing. Your hair rocks.
Thank you. No, I was talking to you.
I'm pretty sure he was talking to you. I'm pretty sure.
We have a giant show today. Coming up. You don't want to miss today's show. This is going to be really hard to hear. It's going to be,
yeah,
it's going to be tough. But this is stuff that we need to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
8 a.m., a friend of ours named Double J will be joining us in studio. He'll be back on the show. We haven't talked to him in a little while. It's been almost a year, right? Since he was in on the show.
Yeah.
A little over a year. He came in last year after he was fired. If you didn't know, Double J was, he's been doing radio forever, but he was on a very popular morning show in town here in Albuquerque for a lot of years. And much like myself, was fired.
Yep.
Was canned. And we had such a great interview with him last year. He opened up about his life growing up in a cult. I mean,
full on.
Raised in a cult.
Yeah. Full on raised in a cult.
That was crazy. So he's going to come on and he wants to talk about the sudden passing of his son. His son Michael passed away in March. And he hasn't spoken publicly about it until now. And they want to get his story out. They feel like it's important to get Michael's story out to the public.
Yeah, dude.
Cuz they want to save lives. They want Michael's memory to live on to save lives, which Michael's story is incredible. He's already saved the lives of five strangers. So we'll get the whole story. We don't know much. He gave us a few details. And like I said, him and his family haven't talked about this yet.
Yeah.
But he wants to come on and share the story and hopes that he'll save lives.
I'm so stoked that he chose this platform. I mean, obviously he loves radio.
Well, we have the biggest show in New Mexico. I mean, honestly, we probably do. I mean, we're on the biggest translator in New Mexico. Millions upon millions.
Millions.
Yeah, because there's millions in this state. So
yeah.
No, I think it's. I love that guy. He's a good dude. He really is. And, you know, if you're, we know how it is. Radio. If you're in radio, there's some people that love you. There's some people that hate you. And it's funny. Last year when we had him on, it was a mixture of people that hated him and a mixture of people that just loved him.
Yep.
Well, we love him.
Yeah, we do.
He's a good dude. So 8 a.m., we're going to talk to him for the hour. He's going to share the story. A lot of people are excited because he hasn't been, he hasn't been in Albuquerque radio for a while. So let's talk about this. We didn't get a chance to talk about this story yesterday. A principal, Diana Smith, she's the principal at Washington Latin Public Charter School in Washington, D.C. She made an offer to the 8th and 9th graders for this summer. Anyone who avoids screens for 11 days will get $100.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How can they prove that?
Here's how it works. Every Tuesday this summer, she wants them to avoid every screen. That means no phones, computers, video games, or TV. And they need two adult witnesses to certify that they went screen-free.
Wow.
If they do that for all 11 Tuesdays this summer, she'll give them $100 out of her own pocket.
Man.
There are 160 students eligible. So if they all do it, she'll be out $16,000. Why are you cheering for that?
Gosh, that's a lot of money.
If they all did it, $16,000. Well, I mean, principals make a lot of money. I mean, right? Ugh. Am I right, Chrissy?
No.
Okay.
No.
let's see. Well, some principals do. I mean, yeah, depending on the school, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. She says she's betting that no more than 50 of them even try. Okay. All right. She says she's doing it because, quote, I have become increasingly uncomfortable with the abugidity of the phone. Abugidity. I need to go back to school. Abugidity. What's that word? Ubiguity. Ubiguity.
No diggity.
What is that word? Can you see that? Ubiquity? Ubiquity?
There you
ubiquity?
Go.
Ubiquity?
Mm-hmm.
Ubiquity. Gosh, yes. Man.
That's good.
With the ubiquity of the phones in their lives. I don't like when teachers bribe their students, but I do think they need help with this particular relationship. That is, that I love everything about this.
What if both, you know, Jay Marie on Facebook Live, what if the adult witnesses lie for them?
Well, I guess that is possible. I guess, I mean, somewhat. Honor system involved in this?
Yeah, slightly.
But, you know, two witnesses. I mean, the chances of those two witnesses, especially if they're adult witnesses, I mean, it could happen, but...
You're way too kind.
I think the fact that if just 50 of these kids decide to take on the challenge and do it, I think that's huge, you know? Yesterday I was driving in the car, and usually this never happens, but I was at a stoplight. I looked over to my left, and I saw four people in the car next to me, and every person was on their phone, including the driver.
Man.
And so I just started noticing. I started looking around yesterday while I was driving, and almost every vehicle I passed, somebody was texting and driving. Somebody was looking at their phone while driving.
Man.
It's crazy. It's insane. And then I'm not saying that I'm perfect when it comes to that because I do my best to put the phone down.
Yeah.
And if someone calls and I don't have my, you know, my Bluetooth set up or my headset, then I don't even answer. But it's bad. I mean, people are just driving drunk.
Dude.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You're driving drunk.
Pretty much.
It's almost pretty worse. Much. Caleb asked me that the other day. Do you think driving drunk is worse than texting and driving or vice versa?
Equally dangerous.
Yeah. I was like, I honestly think texting and driving might be worse because.
Now he's like, cool. Okay. Note to self. Never text and drive.
Well, because.
When I'm 21.
Depending on how drunk you are, when you're driving.
Neither okay.
No, I'm not saying. I'm trying to tell you like which one is worse. And I think texting and driving is worse because you're taking your eyes off the road, and then you see people running into people, running people over because they're not paying attention. Their eyes aren't on the road. When you are driving drunk, I would imagine that a lot of people are really trying to focus. So it's. I think that's where it's different. I think that's why texting and driving is probably worse because people are not keeping their eyes on the road.
I think they're both just awful.
They're both, of course they are. But I think texting and driving is worse.
Nah, I think they're both.
If you're texting and driving right now, you're drunk. You're drunk right now.
I think they're both just.
You're wasted right now.
Yeah.
Put your phones down.
They're both pretty bad.
I'm pretty sure I said that.
Both pretty bad. Speaking of bad, I actually have some pretty bad breaking news.
Oh no.
Yeah, I just got this on the live line, came across, so I wanted to find some news sources to back it up, but there has been a shooting this morning at the Republican-Democrat baseball game.
Oh my gosh.
In Virginia. Yeah. I was waiting for the punchline. Sadly, it's not a joke. It's true. A gunman opened fire at a GOP baseball practice in Alexandria, Virginia on Wednesday morning. Five people, including House Majority Whip Steve Scalise, were wounded, who was at the practice. Man. So it wasn't the Republican. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The game was scheduled for Wednesday evening. That's tonight. It wasn't the Republican-Democrat game. It was actually the Republican practice this morning as the Republicans prepared for the Wednesday night game at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. So, five people.
Wow, man.
Including Scalise, shot in the hip. He's expected to survive. The shooting began around 7:15 this morning. There was a gunman with a rifle, went on for 10 minutes. The suspect was shot by USCP. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for that. Breaking news.
I mean.
Just kicking it off strong.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the fire in London. We'll give you all the details about that coming up in headlines.
Yeah.
That was crazy, right?
Yeah, very crazy.
Like that, as a firefighter, that's the one thing that's got to be the most intense about being
a firefighter. I was watching that live, man, and yeah. It was just like, I couldn't stop, and I wanted to mostly because of humanity is so awful, awful, because it went from this Facebook live feed of this building on fire immediately to, oh, you notice how big that building is and how it hasn't imploded? Oh, 9/11, totally rigged. And then all of a sudden, instead of people like praying for and talking about this fire that's happening, it became this crazy conspiracy theory discussion about how President Bush orchestrated. I was just like, this can't be real life.
Wow.
This is real life. This is our this is humanity right here. Bickering over Republicans wanting to continue a war and planting explosives in the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
While we're watching people trying to put out a fire while there were people trapped on like the top floor.
Right.
I was dumbfounded. I was just like, get away, get away. So I just had to close it all out.
I feel like people should use the block button more often on Facebook. You know, if you see somebody posting something just so ridiculous, just go ahead and block them, you know?
Yeah.
Delete them from your post. And I know some people like to engage in that stuff, and that's what you like to do, and I get it. That's fine. Yeah. But, you know, don't give them a voice. Just ignore them.
Yeah.
That's how I do it. But every once in a while, I like to jump in there and just read what they have to say because it's just so ridiculous. But then every once in a while, I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe that's legit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's real. What's this YouTube video? What? 585 Live, you want to text into the show.
Dude, this is crazy. I apologize. This is a developing breaking news on the shooting. A man was wearing running clothes, comes up and says, are those Republicans or Democrats out there practicing?
Oh, my gosh.
Republicans. He then began to open fire.
Oh, my gosh.
As many as 40 rounds were fired off at the Republican baseball practice this morning. Five people were wounded, including the House Majority Whip, Steve Scalise. Scalise?
Scalise.
I don't know. The gunman was shot, but is expected to live. He is in custody. According to Representative Mo Brooks, the Republican from Alabama, he was at the practice. Shooter, white male, armed with a rifle, fired as many as 40 shots. I ran around to the plastic batting cage. There were probably 20, 30, 40 shots fired. Eventually, the shooter started circling around third base. As per my understanding, of course, I'm down on the ground with the guy with the bullet hole in his leg. He was attending to one of his aides who had been shot. And I mean, this is developing.
Yeah.
So obviously, well, gosh. Yeah. Prayers for our nation, man. Jay Marie says it right. It's a very sad state of being these days. Our political environment is so broken. I don't understand, man.
Yeah. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour with Double J, we're going to talk, gun safety.
This morning. We are.
Yeah, Double J will be joining us at 8 a.m. He was a very, very famous morning show personality here in Albuquerque. He's been doing radio for a lot of years, and he was let go about a little over a year ago. And he's coming on the show to share his story. They feel like, you know, it's time to share what happened to their son, Michael. He recently passed away in March, and they want to help people. They want this tragic event that happened in their son's life to save lives.
Mm.
So we're going to talk to him for an hour coming up at 8 a.m. What else we got on the show today? Well, if we have time, we got a letter titled "My Boyfriend Gave His Office Food Poisoning."
Nice.
No.
Great.
And guess what else is on the show?
What?
America's Got Talent update.
Yeah, right.
Yes, and that was one of the first comments of the morning. AGT update today?
You bet you guys.
There you go, Starmie.
You bet you. And there were some great performances last night.
Our boy Matthew in St. Louis is very, very excited about that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You guys love it.
No.
Steve-O loves it.
Hate.
Nah, it's a lie. You'll get into it. All right, we're on Facebook Live. Go there, listen, watch the show. Hit that share button if you're on Facebook Live right now. Why'd you move it back? Was it not working out?
It wasn't working. It was like this weird side view, and you couldn't. It was like our backs.
Okay.
And by the way, star88.fm, if you go there to the watch now, look at that.
Oh, it's still on?
Yeah, just okay. One, though. That one's not anymore.
Oh.
So literally, it's the Dex cam.
Yeah, there you go. If you want to see my ugly mug. Good luck with that. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll check the roads, and we'll do some headlines next.
Hey! What's going on in the news today?
After spending more than a year in a North Korean prison, an American student is heading home.
His family outside Cincinnati says he's in a coma.
The news comes as former NBA star Dennis Rodman pays a visit to Pyongyang.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions testified before the Senate Intelligence Committee.
The Trump administration has issued its plan for rolling back parts of the financial regulation law known as Dodd-Frank.
The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety tested the headlights on 37 mid-size SUVs and found more than half of them either didn't light up enough of the road ahead or caused too much glare for oncoming drivers.
Officials in Georgia say two prison guards have been shot and killed.
Fed policymakers are beginning a two-day meeting. When it's over, economists expect an interest rate hike for the second time this year.
Verizon's $4.5 billion takeover of Yahoo is now a done deal.
6:32.
Good morning. High today of 92 degrees.
How those roads? Traffic!
Roads are looking good in the ABQ. No accidents to report this early in the morning. However, man, I gotta tell you.
Talk to me.
I always say this, stay away from Central. And then yesterday I found myself on Central like a dumb. Why would you do that? Well, I was down at Astro Zombies kicking it with my good friends down there at the old comic shop. Decided I need to go get an oil change. I'm going to go get an oil change by driving up Central because I hate myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Central Avenue between University and Yale. There's road construction. Girard Boulevard at Central and Monta Vista. Like all the way up. It's like one lane and it's crazy.
Beautiful.
That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Traffic brought to you by For the Good Screen Printing, Live Printing, Graphic Design, ForTheGood.com or 505-508-5658. That's 505-508-5658.
Today is World Blood Donor Day.
Well, that's fitting.
Right?
Wow.
It is. It really is. 8 a.m., our friend Double J will be joining us in studio to share his story, to share what's happened this year to him and his family. They lost their son, Michael, in March.
What are you doing?
Just drumming along to Fantagram.
What is happening over there? And we're going to be talking about organ donation coming up in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yes, we are.
So, yeah, very fitting. World Blood Donor Day. We're looking at 7 days until the 5th Transformers.
Really?
Yep.
You're not going to make us watch the trailer.
We're going to watch the whole thing.
It is being said.
Oh.
It's radio, man. Nobody cares.
Three ages.
It's radio. Nobody can see it.
All right, you're fine.
Nobody can see it.
I just called you fine, by the way.
Thanks, girl. Speaking of, well, no, that's not a good transition. Speaking of fine, shout out to Kimberly, am I right?
Okay.
Matt's sister's watching us on Facebook Live.
Nice!
That was a terrible transition.
That was great. Good job.
Hey, Kimberly.
Hey.
Good morning.
Hey, girl.
She said, hey, guys, y'all have a great day.
Hey, y'all.
Somebody just texted in on the live line, like, confused. What is live printing? Because, you know, we got For the Good, who sponsors our show. They do live printing. They actually go out to events with, like, looks like an octopus.
Right?
All this crazy
stuff. Legs.
And they do, like, live t-shirts. I don't know how to do live printing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What, do you go up to them and say, hey, I want this design?
This design.
And they're like, okay.
And they're like, sure. What do you want it on? Oh, the t-shirt you're wearing? Oh, okay.
It's like, and it sounds like a transformer.
Done that for me once. It was crazy. It
sounds like a transformer. Nailed it. Nailed it.
That's like a terrible Michael Bay transformer. Hate that. Classic Transformers were like. You know what I'm saying?
You don't know what I'm talking about. Let me tell you a story. Okay. When I was a young lad. I used to transform all the time.
Transformers. Transformers.
Okay.
What?
Oh, I know what you're thinking.
Good. As long as you know what I'm thinking. And that's all that matters.
I used to transform all the time when I was just a little kid.
Moving on. I gotta get serious, man. You like hit the headlines, and there's some serious
yeah,
stuff
everything
going
in me
right
said,
now.
Just get out, get into headlines.
Oh man, a gunman opened fire at a GOP baseball practice in Alexandria, Virginia, this morning. At least 5 people, including House Majority Whip Steve Scalise and 2 Capitol Police officers, were wounded. It's basically like live blogging right now. President Trump has been briefed on the shooting. The White House says. Gunman opened fire at a GOP practice. Gunman is in custody, no longer a threat. A white male armed with a rifle fired as many as 40 shots. Man. Officers will be okay, by the way, thank God.
Yeah.
5 people again hit. But statement from President Trump just came in 2 minutes ago. The vice president and I are aware of the shooting incident in Virginia and are monitoring developments closely. We're deeply saddened by this tragedy. Our thoughts and prayers are with the members of Congress, their staffs, Capitol Police, first responders, and all others affected. Yeah.
That's awful.
What's unreal to me is this dude comes up in like running clothes and asks if this is the Republican or Democrat baseball practice.
Yeah. Did they say what kind of gun it was?
Rifle. That's just all it says. Yeah. Senator Rand Paul said had Capitol Police not been there, it would have been a massacre.
Man.
If he would have been able to advance on the rest of us, there would have been no chance. So the shooter came at him, but thank God Capitol Police were there and took care of the situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
So far, all indications are that everyone hit is expected to survive. So
prayers going out to that situation, all the people involved in that.
Yeah, man. In other news, last night, I don't know if you saw this, it was all over Facebook. I was actually watching the live video for a bit. I couldn't stop. A London fire killed six yesterday as Grenfell Tower was engulfed, man. This huge fire raged through the night at a West London tower block. Police expect the number to rise, unfortunately. It was a 24-story building?
Yeah.
25, something like that? Eyewitnesses described people being trapped in the burning tower in North Kensington, screaming for help and yelling for their children to be saved. The firefighters rescued large numbers, but London mayor said a lot of people were unaccounted for. 24-story block, which, by the way, is still on fire, wow, looks at risk of collapsing. During the night, eyewitnesses said they saw lights, thought to be mobile phones or torches, flashing at the top of the blocks of the flats, trapped residents coming to the windows. Some holding children. More than 50 are being treated at a hospital currently. Commander Stuart Cundy of the Metropolitan Police said, I can confirm six fatalities at this time, but this figure is likely to rise during what will be a complex recovery operation over a number of days. It will be some time before the police can identify the victims. It's way too early to speculate on the cause of the fire. We actually have a clip of a resident about the fire.
There's neighbours all running out, people screaming, there's a fireman, and they're going, get out the block, get out the block. So I'm only in my boxers. I ran back in, put my dressing gown on, grabbed the little girl, put her under my dressing gown, got my girlfriend up, and ran down the stairs, down to the ground floor and out, and then looked up, and it was literally how we got out. It was like half of the block was ablaze by the time we got down, and it was just spreading like wildfire. All the cladding on it, it looked like it was just going up and up and up. And there weren't no proper fire alarm. It was very light. Beep. You know, it weren't going to wake no one up or nothing like that. And then there was all fire engines outside, but it was like they weren't doing nothing for ages. It was just burning, you know. We got to get the water, and they're just pushing us away further and further up the road.
So what was the smoke like as you were trying to get out of the
truck? Thick black. Thick black.
Man.
Yeah, man. I got to tell you, I was so frustrated watching this on Facebook yesterday because as I'm watching the live feed, I don't know how I even, like, I don't know how this, it just popped up on my Facebook. And so I'm watching this live feed and I had to stop because it started off with thoughts and prayers with people in the building and then turned into conspiracy corner as to how this building hasn't collapsed yet. 9/11 and inside job this and the Bush administration that. And it was like, dang, dude, there are human beings trapped in this building and people are just talking about.
Yeah.
Politics. Mm-hmm. Politics.
Yep.
Getting obviously very heated. And then as we see this morning at the Republican baseball practice for tonight's Republican-Democrat baseball game in Virginia. Ugh. So frustrating, man.
Yeah.
Why can't we just have conversations, like normal conversations, like grownups?
Well, you have to learn to mute those people out of your life.
But that's still not having a conversation.
I know, but that's why you have the conversation that you want to have. But then when you see those people talking, whether it's a conspiracy or just being stupid, you just got to learn to mute them out. That's what I do. I just mute them out. I delete you every morning, man. Just when you say something dumb, I just mute you.
Okay.
I have this mechanism in my brain. I can mute people.
We got a text on the live line, and I just don't even know how to decipher it.
Mute it.
I just saw a tiny house on the side of the road on I-40. I went to put it into Waze, but they don't have an option for marking the house stopped on the shoulder.
Wow. Beautiful.
What's Waze?
Beautiful. You don't know what Waze are? Come on.
Waze.
I feel like they did the speech to text.
It's a traffic navigation app.
All right. Maybe they didn't do
speech to text. It's like real-time traffic road safety.
Ah.
They're wanting to pop that in, let people know that there's a house on the side of the road.
Okay.
Moving on. Last year, Nike actually made a pair of Air Mags.
Oh,
yeah. That would be the self-lacing sneakers that were pretty much science fiction back in Michael J. Fox's days. But he did wear a pair of them in Back to the Future Part 2 in 1989. Well, that actual pair just hit the auction block and sold for $52,000.
I'm watching the video right now. Those are the real deal right there. Would you wear those?
Self-lacing shoes? They look really dumb. So, I'm sorry.
Really?
I'm sorry. I mean, let's be real.
They look like the David Robinsons when I was a kid. No. Remember the Nikes? David Robinson?
Yeah, no, I know. They just look really, I don't know. They're not very stylish.
Well, you're not stylish.
It's the guy wearing flip-flops.
Yeah. Touché.
Yeah.
Touché. I don't know why Velcro isn't more popular. Shoelaces are ridiculous.
Shoelaces?
Shoelaces are so ridiculous. You know what I'm saying?
Say shoelaces five times fast.
Think about it. Shoelaces are stupid.
Well, that's why, like, when I wear my kicks, I don't tie my shoes. You just knot the end of it on either side. Yeah.
But with Chucks, certain types of shoes, you have to tie them and untie
them. I don't rock my Chucks tied.
Well, do you have the high top ones or low?
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I've never been able to do that with mine.
Well, I'll show you how. Okay. I sport my Chucks without tying them.
Huh.
I mean, I have them like, quote, tied, but then you just knot the top.
This is so complicated.
To keep them loose.
Velcro, man.
Gosh,
why,
dude.
Why is Velcro so unpopular? It's like the fanny pack. The fanny pack is one of the greatest inventions of our time, and people refuse to wear a fanny pack.
You need to leave.
No, I'm serious, man.
Shoes came out last year. There were three private auctions to raise money for the Michael J. Fox Foundation. One of them was in Hong Kong, where a pair sold for $104,000. So it's not a record, but still, 52,000 wow. for a pair of shoes.
Whoa! 88 miles an hour.
I'm sporting the same cons from like high school, man. I can't spend more than $40 on a pair of shoes. I freak out. Get itchy. That dude dropped $52,000.
$52,000, yeah. Guys. And coming up, we're going to talk about all the things that we could have purchased.
Yeah, dude.
With the money that the Warriors spent on wasting champagne.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I can't wait to have this conversation.
Guess how much money they spent on champagne.
I don't want to know. Especially, I was going to say, considering the fact that when you were watching the post game, Kevin Durant was drinking Bud Light.
Oh, wow.
Did you see this?
No.
Dude, he doesn't drink. And he was trying to do the Stone Cold, like, smashing beers together and was drinking Bud Light on the camera and got schooled on, hey, maybe don't do that if you're not a drinker, because he was doing a post-game interview and couldn't do it because he had, like, half a Bud Light.
Oh, wow.
And was, like, slurring and even said, oh, man, I haven't had a beer since last February, I think is what he said.
Yeah, right?
And it was, like, tragically bad.
Oh, my gosh.
People were mocking him.
Yeah, let's go over some of these. 10 things the Warriors could have bought with the $200,000 worth of champagne they sprayed on the floor. Yeah, the bottles they were spraying on each other and the floor, that cost about $1,200 a piece. And there were about 150 of them. Meaning that was right around $200,000 worth of champagne. Whew. Now here's 10 other things that they could have bought. 9 new 2017 Honda Civics.
Why would they need a Honda Civic?
277 iPhone 7s.
Wow.
36,000 basic fidget spinners.
Okay.
100 high-quality basketball hoops along with 2,566 Spalding basketballs.
This is, I like this list.
13,856 new copies of Suicide Squad on Blu-ray.
Gross! Why
9
would anybody
million
do that?
Used copies of the Hootie and the Blowfish album, Cracked Rear View. 9 million! 6,000 Yellow Kids Pokemon hoodies with Pikachu ears. 9,610 creepy horse head masks.
Those things are great, am I right?
20,000 traditional athletic supporters. Complete with a cup, by the way.
Thank you.
And our last one, 2 tickets to Game 5 of the finals, plus $47,000 to blow on concessions.
Wow.
That's what you could have bought with the $200,000 with the champagne they spread all over the floor.
Hey, kudos to your list. That was actually a pretty good list, I gotta say.
Those are all things that I've always wanted to purchase, guys. I would do it if I became a millionaire. I'd just buy all that.
Oh, man. Moving on, buddy?
Yeah.
Okay. You're a fan of, like, dummies chasing around Bigfoot and whatnot?
Nah.
I call them dummies for this reason. You ever watch the UFO Hunter people?
Oh, man. Yes.
I mean, let's be honest. All UFO hunters are amateur UFO hunters. You can't really go pro, but there's amateurs, and then there's amateurs. Three dudes went out into the Blue Hills near Boston last week looking for UFOs, and they found one!
They did?
Sort of. I mean, they took a pretty weak picture of a white glow in the sky.
Let's check this out. Okay. Well, that doesn't look like a UFO, does it?
That...
Yeah.
That is a terrible photo.
That looks like a cloud.
Yeah.
All right.
But they couldn't run out and tell the world about their groundbreaking photo as much as they wanted to because in the midst of the chaos, they freaked out. They're running around, they're taking photos, and then they're lost.
Oh, they got lost?
They didn't have flashlights, their phones were dying, and they wound up having to call the cops to come rescue them. No joke. A police helicopter finally found them several hours later and rescued them. None of them needed medical attention.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, we got. I mean, do you want me to say we got a clip?
Oh, I mean, I guess.
I mean, we got a clip.
We came up here hoping to see some UFOs.
So you're like a UFO mag.
I am, yeah, literally, yeah.
So did you have any luck or?
Yes, we saw a couple. Yeah, we saw some we had never seen before. We saw this one light that had. Well, we saw these two ships that had these like bright spotlights, and then we saw this like weird orb thing that was like a spotlight sort of.
Too bad they couldn't lead you back down though.
Yeah, no, they weren't very helpful. No.
I feel like you're being a little sarcastic there, buddy.
Yeah, they're like, then we saw this bright flash. Oh, wait, that's the helicopter that's there to save us.
Mm-hmm.
It's the helicopter. They used a helicopter.
We saw this giant. It looked like a plane, but it wasn't. But there was these lights, and they were flashing their lights at us. That's the sound that it made. That you nailed the sound.
Thank you. I could do like sound effects, man. We don't even need your sound effects anymore. I've got all of them. By the way, that girl was 18 years old and already
here's
crazy.
Here's the thing. I get it. It's
already
fun.
Already crazy.
It's fun to believe in stuff like that. It's fun to believe in the paranoia. It's fun to believe in Bigfoot and UFOs. I get it. It's not real, guys.
No, it's not.
I have come to the conclusion after many, many months.
Yeah.
Bigfoot is not real.
I'm so glad you're actually finally coming to this conclusion.
He's not a mystical creature.
No, it's difficult, man, because we don't have photographic evidence of Bigfoot. We don't have photographic evidence, really, of UFOs. But you know what we do have photographic evidence of?
Talk to me.
The grossest photo of all time!
Oh, no.
Surgeons recently removed 30 inches of impacted bowels from a constipated dude. This is for real.
All right, that's an alien. It's
probably going to make you want to chug some Metamucil right after I tell you this story. Maybe some prune juice.
Oh,
help you
gosh.
Out there for the day. A severely constipated 22-year-old man in Shanghai, China needed surgery. Why didn't you tell me you were going to...
That looks like a monster that's living inside of
it. Oh, I'm so mad at you because I looked right and I was planning
not to look at the photos, but you were already just straight up rocking them like a champion. He was 22 years old. Is 22 years old. Shanghai, China. He had surgery where doctors removed 30 inches of his large intestines that were packed solid with waste. 30 inches of his intestines.
Oh my God.
Packed solid with waste that had built up for his whole life.
What?
If you're crazy enough to look at photos of what they removed.
Oh my gosh.
It almost looks like a.
It looks like an alien.
Like an animal. Yeah. Like a slimy
pink. Like a maggot. Animal. Like a giant maggot. Yes. That's what it looks
without
like.
Without a face. It will haunt your dreams forever. You will never be able to sleep. Please don't look at these photos. I'm so mad at Dex.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to look.
This is a crazy story. This is a crazy story. Like,
kicking it, rocking these photos.
So apparently at a young age, the man's abdomen began to bulge to the point where people thought, thought he appeared heavily pregnant. He had to rely on laxatives and other constipation medicine to force bowel movements to happen. That is so crazy.
That looks like something out of a Ridley Scott horror film.
Look at my baby, guys.
I'm not looking. I can't look. I thought you were done. Gosh, I'm so mad at you right now.
Isn't that crazy? A poor, poor guy, man. It's just a buildup of waste for 22 years.
22. Yeah.
Right. 22 years old.
30 inches.
Yeah, unreal. I wish they could tell me how much it weighed. I really want to know.
Moving on. Okay. Speaking of poop, why do I have poop stories this morning?
I don't know, man.
Gosh. A hazmat team actually had to go into Disneyland after 17 people were sprayed with mystery poo.
Daniel, sorry. This is for
and
you.
Not Winnie the Pooh. Not like different kind of poo. Okay. I mean, for the price that you pay to get into Disneyland, you think maybe at least they could protect you from having a day like this. On Friday night, 11 adults and 6 children at Disneyland in Anaheim were suddenly sprayed with mystery poop. The cops, fire department, and a hazmat team had to come to the park, and after a quick investigation, they figured out the bomb came from geese flying overhead. So it wasn't...
Oh. There wasn't a, it was geese? You ever been pooped on by a bird?
No, dude. Gross.
I have.
Yeah.
They say it's a sign of... good luck.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either.
Yeah, these feces bombs came from geese flying overhead. Anaheim police even tweeted to clarify that no crime occurred. Guests hit with the mattel de fecal appeared to be geese that flew overhead. None of the 17 poop victims needed to go to the hospital. There's no word on whether Disney is planning on doing anything for them to make it up, because it's not like Disney could really, I mean, do anything. It's geese poop.
When Freakle hits you, man, it's so stinky, guys. Freakle.
That was a Freakle accident.
Yeah, it was.
Can we just take a break?
Sure, man.
This whole break has gone into the toilet.
Yeah, okay. Like
it is a terrible.
We're flushing it. Delete this from the podcast. All right, we got to take a break. 8 a.m., our friend Double J will be joining us on the show. He hasn't spoken publicly about his son's death until now. He wants to come on and share his story, and we're going to talk organ donation, gun safety, in the 8 o'clock hour with Double J.
Did you say Oregon donation?
Yeah, Oregon.
It's Oregon. Oregon.
Okay, Freakle.
Okay. Touche.
We'll be right back.
Congratulations. You have just purchased a killer whale. Here's how to take care of your new pet. First, place salt water in your pool or jacuzzi. Next, pick up your killer whale by the tail and submerge him. When your killer whale is hungry, feed him dolphins and penguins. If no dolphins or penguins are available, you may substitute cats, dogs, horses, goats, phone repairmen, dead grandparents, SeaWorld whale trainers, or spam. When swimming with your killer whale, try not to look tasty. If he tries to nip at you, swat him with your snorkel.
No, bad whale.
And most of all, enjoy your new pet.
Lale, big or smaller, star 88. Good morning, Dex and Steve-O, 7-Eleven.
High today of 92 degrees. Traffic! Well, taking a look at the roads right now, everything's looking pretty good for your normal Wednesday commute. There's some road construction. The left lane is closed. Central Avenue between 47th and 59th, as well as up more near us, Paseo del Norte, near Louisiana. Louisiana Boulevard North, right at Paseo, actually. There's some construction. The right lane is closed there. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Welcome to the show, everybody. 8 a.m., Double J will be in studio. And he's going to share his story, what's happened to him and his family this year. It's so tragic. But he wants to come on and talk about his recent the recent passing of his son, Michael. And we're going to talk about organ donation. We're going to talk about gun safety. So that's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Double J used to be on 106.7 for a lot of years. And he's a good guy. Can't wait to see him. It's been a little over a year since we've seen him.
Man. Speaking of gun safety, unfortunately, we had to report a shooting this morning in Alexandria, Virginia, where the Republicans and Democrats were preparing for their baseball game tonight. And at the Republican practice this morning, Steve Scalise, a majority whip of the House of Representatives, was shot, along with four others, including two police officers. But they're saying that everyone at this time, everyone should be okay. Mm. We had a few people actually texting in asking about Steve Pierce, Congressman Steve Pierce, because he's on the show regularly.
Yeah.
Friend of the show. He just tweeted he was present at this morning's GOP baseball practice, but he's okay. Prayers for Congressman Scalise and aides that were involved that were shot. But man, could have been a lot crazier. Being that Steve Scalise was there, he's the majority whip of the House of Representatives. As that position of leadership, he gets a Capitol Police detail.
Wow.
Good guys with guns. So, had he not been there, there wouldn't have been a police detail.
Yeah.
And so, because he was there, there was a police detail, and they were able to apprehend the shooter without any loss of life. So, the shooter was wounded, and they took him into custody. So,
all right, let's head over to your neck of the woods, Steve-O, your old stomping grounds. Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Okay, I'm like, what's my old stomping grounds? I don't really stomp around there. I mean, I jumped around there.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You know, it was like when I was a little kid. It's a house of pain. Crisscross will make you jump. Mm-hmm. That was around the same time.
Here's your headline. High school student not allowed to accept diploma on stage.
Whoa.
Let's find out why. One student said he was faced with that dilemma, but says instead of his school helping him, they tried to humiliate him. Oh, humiliate. I can't talk to save my life. Humiliate. Thank you. Most high school students count down the days, and I kind of feel like a reporter right now.
Yeah.
I'm reading the word for word, you know?
Doing a good job.
And let me give you the gist of this, because now my computer's frozen. This kid, him and his family couldn't afford the cap and gown for graduation.
Okay.
The school said, you can't walk.
What?
How would you feel as a young man who's ready to graduate? Your parents, they can barely feed you. They I can barely pay the bills. They can't afford to buy the cap and gown for you. And now the school is saying you can't graduate. You can't walk. How would you feel?
Oh, man.
Talk to me.
No, because I'm like, I mean, I don't want to say it makes sense that the school would want them to have a cap and gown. That seems kind of important.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, how much does a cap and gown cost?
That's a good question. I don't know if it says it in the story. He goes on to say, I was hurt. I was offended on a personal level because my educators failed me. Rogers said he couldn't afford the required cap, gown, and tassel before the ordering deadline. He said he expressed his financial situation with his school leaders, but instead of help, he feels like he received retaliation. My counselor and my principal went to the back of the storage room and pulled out a girl's cap and gown and a tassel from the year before. During the ceremony, boys wore red and girls wore white, representing the school's colors. But since Rogers couldn't get his hands on a red gown, he took the white gown to graduation and just held it. It was a decision he made for being given a girl's cap and gown. He says, I wanted to make it as formal as possible while still maintaining some sort of a protest, Rogers said. Hush, man, my heart goes out to this kid, man. That is awful. Faculty didn't even announce his name. Instead, the principal escorted him out of line when he was second to walk on stage.
Ugh.
His father says Rogers wasn't allowed the same opportunity as fellow students. He earned the right to walk across the stage.
Yeah.
This makes me angry.
I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty torn.
What? What? You're torn?
He wasn't wearing a cap and gown. Like, that's like.
But let me back up. You remember what they did to him. They took him into a storage unit. And
but that's the way that it's being told. It's being relayed. Do you honestly think they were malicious and were like, oh, you're poor? Well, here. We're going to gift you one. It's a girl's one.
You really
one.
Think that's hard to believe?
Really? Okay. You are such a sucker.
Wow. I'm a sucker? I'm
Chrissy
speechless.
Chimed in on Facebook Live and said their cap and gown was $125.
Wow. $125?
And Ernest just chimed in with the story on Fox News about a uniformed Marine who wasn't allowed to walk the stage because he was wearing his Marine uniform at his graduation ceremony. And they would not let him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. They told him he was not allowed to wear his uniform at the weekend graduation, and he decided to wear his dress blues anyways.
Good. You know, yeah. I'm glad that this young man stood up in protest because what they did wasn't right.
Well, the Marines actually don't have a policy on dress for high school graduations because the kid graduated early and joined the Marines. So he flew back home for his actual graduation at the end of the year. But since the Marines don't have a policy on dress for high school graduations, they leave the decision up to the individual school districts. And the school district said, no, you can't wear that.
Where was this at?
You have to wear the traditional gown, Indiana.
Wow.
We have continued wearing the traditional gown as this is the last formal event of the year and a celebration of the time our graduating seniors have spent at Crown Point High School. The tradition is not intended to be disrespectful to students, parents, or our community, but as a source of pride for our students, it's also not intended to be disrespectful to our students choosing to serve in the military, our active duty servicemen and women, and our veterans. We're forever grateful for the sacrifices they make on a daily basis for our freedom.
Mm.
Classmates, of course, were outraged. Fellow graduates were outraged because they didn't want him to walk across the stage in his uniform. So,
what?
Yeah,
that I don't understand. 338-3700. If you'd like to call in, or you can text us at 585 live. Thanks for holding. Good morning.
I can't believe you left him in one of the hottest places
in
the earth.
Talk to me.
No water. Scared.
I was alone. So scared. I had three kids with me. I was
That's
shaking.
Terrifying.
I was shaking like a wet dog. Oh, it was awful, man.
Please do this every day.
See, Steve-O's acting like this right now, like it's funny.
Someone hit up my Facebook page yesterday, and they were trying to schedule me to go in and do an interview with you guys. I don't think it was real, though.
Yeah.
I don't think that was real.
Probably wasn't real.
No.
Probably wasn't real, Booty.
No reason why we'd have you on
the
show, man.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, none, because you're just going to mock me.
Love it.
I was the one left alone.
Let me get a hashtag Booty in the chat.
Okay.
Listeners, please.
All right.
Hashtag Booty.
Okay. We'll see you.
Later, Booty. Man, we're having a serious conversation.
Well, I was serious yesterday. It was very serious.
Dexter is upset with me because I abandoned him, allegedly.
Right. Yeah, my whole weekend, I was alone with my three kids.
Yeah, you weren't alone.
Hot,
you were with your three kids. I was alone. You abandoned me for your kids.
It's not true at all, guys.
Which, by the way, Facebook Live, look at this t-shirt. Am I right? I got this at Baseballism.
Yeah, guess who was at the baseball store with you? This guy and my three kids. Yeah.
Right.
We went to a baseball shop. It was beautiful.
Patrice said her cap and gown with tassels was $150.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, man.
If you are a struggling family that can barely afford
food. I get what you're saying.
That is not easy for a family to afford $120, $150 for a cap and gown. That is so ridiculous.
Somebody's mad at me saying, Torn, the Christian thing to do would be to help him out, not punish him for it. But I don't understand how they punished him. They provided him with all they had.
They know.
They had a cap and gown. And they're like, dude, this is from last year. Sorry, this is all we have left in storage. It's girls.
They pulled out a girl's cap and gown and a tassel from the year before.
Okay.
How embarrassing. You're 17 years old. And they give you a girl's cap and gown.
What's the difference? Does everybody really know the difference?
Yeah, it's the color. It's the color. That's the difference.
Why has it got to be about color?
Okay, well, yeah.
I love that. The Christian thing to do would be, what about never mind. I don't even want to go off
guys
on that.
Guys wear, I'm about to. Guys wear red gowns and girls wear white gowns. So in protest, he didn't wear it. He held the white gown. And of course, school said, nope, not going to happen. You're not going to walk.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay. A member of the Star Army said this. If you don't have the cap and gown, then you don't walk.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the rules, people.
Oh.
Life is full of them.
His family couldn't afford a cap and gown.
It's a sad situation.
And you think that he should have worn the white gown?
It's a sad situation.
I'm reading from
the Star Army. Of course you are.
You're a bleeding heart, man.
You're a Bernie Sanders guy.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a sad situation, but the family knew he was graduating and should have planned for it. They had... Oh. How many years to prep for his graduation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good one.
Somebody else said, my husband is a high school teacher and has purchased cap and gowns for kids before who could not afford them. I think
that's
pretty horrible
beautiful.
That schools don't provide them.
Exactly.
And waste money on other things instead. I hear that.
Exactly.
I hear that.
It's the school's fault. This is not the child's fault at all. Because that's the reality of it. You know, he's 17 years old. You know, he's graduating.
I don't understand. See, somebody else just chimed in and said, it's not embarrassing. It's white. It's not a dress.
Yeah, so he's getting... Oh, my
Who
gosh.
Who cares? Somebody else said he deserved a white gown. He's obviously a snowflake.
Okay. All right. I am going to bite my finger off.
That's what you get, man.
Unbelievable.
What did you expect? It's the rules.
It's what you get.
Don't get me wrong.
It's
Here's what
you
kills
get.
Me.
Like, it's his fault. Like, he did this to himself.
I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm saying
that's what you just said.
The media just runs with it like, oh, and the school forced this upon... They didn't force anything upon him. This is the rules. It is graduation. We come up on these stories every single year.
This poor kid, his family can't afford. It's not his fault that his family can't afford $150 for a cap and gown. So now he has to wear... A girl's
cap and gown and walk.
It's not cut any differently.
During, oh my gosh.
It's not cut any differently.
Oh, hold me back.
It's not cut any differently.
I'm going to cut you.
I'm going to cut you.
Unbelievable, man. I am blown away by you guys.
Yeah. It's all our fault, not his fault.
You're telling me right now that it's his fault. This is his fault. That's what you're saying? It's his fault?
I'm not saying necessarily. Well, you know what?
How can you say that it's his fault?
I'm not saying it's his fault because I fully understand what it's like to be strapped for cash, to be in a place financially where it's difficult to provide for certain things. However, if this is something that they've known about for a very long time,
doesn't matter. Take the parents out of the equation. Take his parents out of the equation.
Why?
It's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
It's not his fault that his parents didn't
budget. You're right. Okay. In that, you are right. But it's not the school's fault. You're blaming the school for something that they told him how many months in advance? How long in advance did they say, hey, man, here's the cost for the cap and gown? And so the week of when they're like graduating, they go and say, hey, we couldn't afford it. It's like, man, we probably could have used this information months ago. Well, we can't order anything. Here's something from last year. This is all we have.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I am floored.
Of course you are.
What you're saying.
Of course you are, Bernie. You're feeling the burn in your heart.
Give me a
because
break.
We're not all pitching in $15 to help them.
One kid. One
It's kid. Not one kid because I'm getting stories left and right.
No,
like,
hold on. No.
Like,
all over the country,
look at this,
I'm sure.
Fox News.
No.
Here
no.
we go, Fox News.
All over
this
the country,
Marine
I'm sure. Yes.
Couldn't walk because he was wearing his Marine uniform. That's a different story.
Give me a break. That's a completely different story.
But it's not because if you look at the media, they're spinning it as, this school is anti-military. No, they're not. They have a rule. And the rule is you wear your cap and gown.
Right. This is different. This
kid
is a different story.
Wanted to wear
his Marine. Mm-hmm. He wanted to. This kid wanted to walk down the aisle and get his diploma like every other boy. But instead, he has to wear a girl's cap and gown. That's disgusting,
oh,
man.
Dang.
That a school wouldn't pony up $150.
You ready for this?
I don't even know if I want you to read it.
Starmie.
Oh.
My parents couldn't afford much for me for graduation either. My dad had a bad gambling addiction. So guess what I did? I went and got a job.
I paid for
my class ring. I even paid for my invitations because I knew it would be a burden on my mother to try and come up with the money. Man.
I get that. And good on you. Good on you for doing that. We don't know this kid's situation. We don't know.
We don't.
He could have thought that his parents had it taken care of.
You're like outright saying the school is evil. It is the school's fault.
And they are. For the how they handled the situation, they are straight up evil. The way that they handled it, that's one kid, one boy out of the graduation class says, I can't afford, my parents couldn't afford it during the time
this
that we
situation.
Had to get our orders in.
I feel like this member of the Starmie just nailed the situation.
Oh.
I'm Dex.
I'm quitting.
I can't afford lower level seats to the NBA Finals, and I've been a Warriors fan for two whole years. It's really not fair that they want me to watch it on television. I'm entitled. My name is Dex.
Yeah, because that's exactly the exact same situation that we're talking about. Exact same situation. This is a young man who's 17 years old. It's not his fault that his parents couldn't afford a cap and gown when they were supposed to put the orders in. It's not his fault. It's not.
See,
and
here's
the fact
good
that they're publicly and they embarrassed him. They shamed him. They took him in the back and they pulled out a girl's cap and gown.
They shamed him.
They did. What if this kid was getting bullied at school?
The next thing you're going to tell me is that the school was bullying.
What if he was a kid that was getting bullied throughout the years?
This is all conjecture.
But we don't know the situation.
You're right,
so,
we don't. But
so
you're
the
sure
school,
as heck putting a bunch on it.
The school, they need to go into every situation, and they need to look at every situation as if this
kid...
How
do you know they didn't?
Are you...
I Dex is going to have a heart attack. It's going to be really sad. studio@stardate.fm. That's our email address if you'd like to send in resumes. I might need a co-host soon because he's going to have an aneurysm.
All right, here's what it said. When we asked the principal why Aiden wasn't allowed on stage, he didn't give us a direct answer. Instead, he said the graduate was given his diploma. No word from the superintendent. Unbelievable. So if you're just tuning in, this young man from Las Vegas, New Mexico, it's graduation time, and apparently when it came to ordering his cap and gown, his parents couldn't afford the cap and gown, and so come graduation, he didn't have one. So he told the school about it, and they said, well, we don't have any more boy cap and gowns, but let's go see if we can find one. They took him in the back and they pulled out a girl's cap and gown and tassel, mm-hmm. and said, here you go, you're gonna have to wear a girl's. Well, he's not gonna wear a girl's. I wouldn't wear a girl's. Maybe some of you would and would be okay with it, but he decided, I'm just gonna carry it. I'm not gonna wear this in protest for the fact that they can't find me, they can't order me a cap and gown, and they wouldn't let him walk. They wouldn't let him walk. Even if he didn't have a cap and gown, who cares? Let the kid walk.
Mm-mm.
Let the kid walk.
Mm-mm.
Or maybe you can't throw something together real quick. There's got to be somebody out there that can throw together a cap and gown real quick to make it look like at least he fits in somewhat.
Yeah, they tried to give him a cap and gown.
Girls! That's ridiculous. But,
okay. You keep saying something, and the Star remembers pointing this out. You keep saying, it's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
And that's true. But it has nothing to do with fault. It's just what the situation is. It's life. It's not fair. It's not easy. Now, his friends could have pitched in. Maybe people in the community
could have. What if he doesn't have friends?
Out of their own hearts chosen to step up.
What if he doesn't have friends?
You are such an idiot.
No, I'm not. You're being an idiot.
Because you don't know him. You're like speculating. What if he doesn't have any friends?
But you did
what
too.
What if he's bullying?
But you guys are just sitting there. No. You guys are sitting there going, why didn't his friends pitch in? You can't say that. How do you know? Maybe he doesn't have any friends.
All right. He's really the saddest human alive.
Oh, my gosh. You don't know this situation.
You're right. I don't. And neither do you.
I'm going to have a heart attack.
And neither
right
do you.
Now, guys.
But this is the thing. This is what we're talking about. You're putting the blame or the fault on the school, but that's not necessarily correct either. All I am trying to say is,
man,
there are rules. Like, that's the rules. And of course, you just want them to be bent or broken. Because this is usually what happens when we take sides on a story.
Uh-huh.
You're like, why couldn't they just... But it's not that easy sometimes in this situation.
You only get to graduate once. And for some people, it's probably a pretty big deal. It probably is. And the fact that come graduation time, this young man has to wear a girl's cap, gown, and tassel in front of his family, in front of the whole school, that's awful. That's embarrassing. Why would anybody want to do that? Nobody.
So he had a choice to make, and he chose not to wear the cap and gown. And the school, in turn, chose not to let him walk because he was breaking the rules.
They're setting him up to get bullied.
Yeah, setting him up to understand what life is about.
Oh, my God.
Choices. He made a choice. I'm going to protest. I am not going to wear a cap and gown, even though those are the rules. And then the school said, hey, great, kid. You're still going to graduate. Here's your diploma. You're just not going to walk. And here's what's killing me right now is like 80% of the people, I think, are probably have the right perspective. What's making me crazy on the live line right now are people who are telling me that I am being unchristian because
I don't think I'm saying Christian.
A school went by the rules. It has nothing to do with me personally or my heart or my love for humanity and everything to do with the fact that there are freaking rules, people. The kid chose that route.
Yeah, because you follow the rules all the time.
All the time. Not even saying that. God, I want to punch you.
Do it right now. Do it.
I think I'm going to.
Yeah.
What does the employee manual say about abuse in the workplace?
I'll go out to the parking lot right now. Let's go.
Yeah? Yeah? Dude. See, thank you, Andrew. Why wouldn't he wear the girl's cap and gown? How could it possibly be any different?
Oh my
gosh. It's literally just a cap and gown.
I get it.
But he decided,
hey, I get it.
Hey, I'm not going to do that. Right on. The school said, okay, well, you can't walk without a cap and gown. And
guys,
he chose not to wear it.
If I was in this situation, I'd put on the girl's cap and gown and tassel. I don't care. I really don't. I would put it on.
Oh,
but again,
weird.
But it's a different situation. You don't know. Why would you want to put a young man in that situation where you are shaming him?
You're shaming him as a school.
Gosh,
you are that mom. Oh,
are you kidding
man.
Me? This is okay. This kid has been working his butt off.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
For a long time in school.
Yeah, I know.
This is the day where you finally receive that diploma.
We have 49 texts.
Because of his parents not being able to afford it, he has to wear a girl's cap and gown. And you were saying,
that's just life, man.
Yeah.
That's just life.
Well, you know what? This is a different situation where a school can come up with $150 or they can figure out a way. They can problem solve the situation and figure out where we can find a boy's cap and gown. There's got to be a way that they could find one.
Man.
You know?
It's so
work your
cute,
butt off
man.
Until you find it.
Yeah. Dex has a great heart. A lot of people could learn from him. Us Christians are the worst sometimes. You're the man, Dex. And Steve-O, it has everything to do with heart. I love you, but it does. I hear what you're saying on a personal level, but we're talking about a corporate level where a school had to make a decision where they're going to
bucks.
Break the rules for this one kid and then in turn allow everybody else who just had whatever excuse it was.
Embarrass the kid because that's what you want him to learn. You want to just embarrass him in front of everybody his last day on the
I'm
day
so
he
glad when you were a
diploma.
Little kid they didn't have like social media like
but
this because you would have been
maybe
that
this
victim
is, hold
kid
on but maybe this is
everybody
why
felt sorry
maybe
for.
This is why I'm freaking out over this is because I was publicly shamed throughout my time in elementary school. I was. You heard some of the stories that I shared.
I know.
It was awful. And those still affect me to this day.
I know.
I shouldn't
which
have gone through
that. Puts a slant on the... You think
I shouldn't have gone through that.
Of course you shouldn't have, but that has nothing to do with
that
the situation.
That didn't help me out with life at all. The way that a teacher responded when I couldn't tie my shoes or I didn't write my name right on the board and they embarrassed me or the time the teacher grabbed the back of my head and banged it on the desk. Those are situations that I carry with every day. And that doesn't help me with life. That hasn't helped me at all. This kid, he puts on the girl's cap and gown, and let's say he starts getting made fun of. You don't know
but again,
where he's at.
Again, this is cute, but this is like a heart tug on your heartstring speculation story.
Ugh.
You don't know the situation. What if his grandmother was buried in white, and so he couldn't wear the cap and gown because it reminded him too much of his grandmother's funeral? Like, you're just making crap up so that people, like, tug on heartstrings.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, he had a choice to make. He chose not to wear the cap and gown. Right on, that's your choice. Way to stand up for yourself. Good on you. School said, hey, there are also still rules, and this is the consequence for not following the rules. You don't get to walk.
This school is stupid.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm ashamed. I am. I'm ashamed that they handled this,
gosh,
this situation.
I'm so
like
glad
this.
I hung out with your kids this weekend in Phoenix so that I can understand that you're not raising victims.
Okay. 585 live, 585-5483.
And don't even talk to me about financial hardships. I grew up with a mother who raised three kids by herself because my father was killed when I was 6 years old.
Oh my gosh, here we go.
You don't think it was hard for my single mom to try and raise three kids by herself?
Okay, leave that out of it, Steve-O.
No,
leave it out. Because
people are like, you don't understand financial hardships. People are so poor sometimes, they don't even, the last thing they're thinking about is buying a cap and gown.
It's not his fault that his parents aren't making enough money for them to buy him a gown and tassel.
Here's
I'm
what
so
we're gonna
fired
do.
Up right
we're
now.
Gonna I'm gonna stop talking and you're gonna stop talking. But what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna go down the list and read them in no order in particular.
All
just
right. Pfft. That's fine.
We have 49 texts from the live line, including
today,
like
guys.
30 comments on Facebook Live.
I might hang up my headphones today.
Yeah, Lord, thank you. Sometimes I think
I might head on over to this school today and protest, even though the school's not in session.
Of course you would. Of course you would.
I got this kid's back, man. I got this kid's back. What are they saying?
Somebody said that I have totally crossed the line from unreasonable to jerk, which is cool. Totally Christ-like. Dex saying that the school should have worked their butt off until they found a solution, but what about the parents? Or the kid.
I get it.
Or anyone else involved.
I totally get it. The parents, they should have they should have planned for this. They should have put some money aside. It's not his fault, though.
But we've already gone over that. Of course it's not his fault. We're not saying it's the kid's fault.
I'm responding to the text that you got.
Okay. Somebody else said Dex is being flat ridiculous. Oh. No one would even know it was a girl's gown.
Okay, yeah. Because
there is no visible difference between a male and female cap and gown.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, the boys wear red. The girls wear white.
Is that real?
No, it is. It's in the story.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because they pulled out, when they took them back to the storage, they pulled out a girl's cap, gown, and tassel. And it goes on to say that girls wear white, boys wear red. He would have to wear a white gown.
Somebody said, sounds like it's the school system versus the child, but where is the children's family in all of this?
Yeah, I wish they would have...
Somebody else said, hey, it's not my fault that I don't have $1 million. Start pitching in, Starmie. GoFundMe, anyone?
Yeah, his father says Rogers wasn't allowed the same opportunity as his fellow students. He earned the right to walk across the stage, and he did.
He did. He did earn the right. I agree with that.
But you can't walk across the stage to receive your diploma because you're not wearing...
Because you're not wearing a cap and gown.
A cap and gown.
Yeah.
But yet, he can wear a girl cap and gown, and that's okay? Why isn't that a rule?
What are you talking about?
I'm trying to spin it.
Of course you are, you dumb. So imagine this. Your buddy's is having a wedding, but it's a black tie affair only. You don't own a black tie, suit, tuxedo, anything like that.
Mm-hmm. I've been in this situation recently.
So do you go out of your way to spend that money so that you are appropriately dressed? Because that's what they want. Do you show up in jeans and a t-shirt because you're too broke to buy something? Or do you just not attend?
Either you don't attend or recently I was in this situation. I went and asked some friends that I knew would probably have a suit or the attire that I needed.
The parents probably could have asked other family members or other people because there's a rule and maybe they should have purchased the cap and gown because that's what it said you were supposed to wear.
But if they couldn't but have if they purchased. Couldn't,
then maybe they just don't go? Even that's what you just said in the wedding situation.
Even if, let's just say the parents, obviously, they didn't handle the situation correctly. Thank you.
I've never said that. Finally agreeing on something.
I've never, ever said that the parents handled the situation right.
No, you're just blaming the school, but there's more than one party at fault here. I've said that the parents should have budgeted.
They should have planned better. I get it. But still... It's not his fault. It's like getting born into a family, you know, where mom and dad are completely just worthless parents and drug addicted or whatever. It's not the kid's fault that he was born into that family. It's not his fault.
But it's not the school's fault either.
Why can't the school, though, in this situation, help a kid out?
The school has so much cash lying around. $150?
You mean to tell me they can't? Some people.
They tried!
Some people can't come together and be like, okay, $5, let's put a little bucket out right now.
The school tried.
Let's raise $150.
According to different news sources.
Let's do a car wash.
According to different.
Let's do a bake sale. Like, let's figure out a way to make this happen. $150?
That's not a big deal. Why is that the school's responsibility?
Oh, my god!
The school tried. They had...
Because it's a kid, man. It's a kid.
Oh, man.
It's a kid who has to walk down the aisle now wearing a girl's cap and gown. That's ridiculous.
You're an idiot.
No, I'm not. You sound like a complete freak idiot.
That's weird because 99.9% of people on the live line are saying the exact opposite.
Okay, well... I don't care. I have this kid's back 100%. I really do. I don't think he's being a snowflake.
Hey, you know what? And the good news is so do three people who are like coming at me for being unchristian and then using some really interesting words that I would question the validity of their stupid
Thank
comments.
You for holding. Go ahead. Are you there?
I love you guys, man.
Hi.
You guys are awesome.
Losing my voice.
Thanks, Derek. Thank you.
Hey, so I just wanted to chime in. I had to say it. Like, you're both right. I mean, technically, you're both right.
Thank you.
The kid, it's
no,
not
right.
the kid's fault.
Right.
You both are right.
Right.
I gotta say, though, there's priorities and there are rules. That is true. There also is not, there is more the school could have did. Absolutely, there is. But from outside of that, what I wanted to chime in and say was like, dude, come on. Like, just because you have your own point of view on things or just because you have your own moral compass towards certain things doesn't mean that you have a heart issue or doesn't mean that you're not Christian. I think too many people lean to that too much. And so I just, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know why people get ridiculed just for their own opinion. And it's a cool topic. I'm glad you guys are talking about it, but...
Well, I think in faith, it comes down to like, thanks, buddy. I think, Derek, what happens is there are people who are more spirit of the law and there are people more letter of the law. So it's like, what's right? What's right, the law or like, you know what I mean? And of course, as Christians, I personally, right? Christ was more spirit I'm going to get in trouble for saying stuff like this and going this route. But the idea that Christ cared more about helping someone than the law, right? Than like, oh, well, it's the Sabbath. And he's like, I'm going to heal this person anyways, right? So he broke the quote rules. So in that, I understand why people are like, you have no heart, Steve-O. Mm. But I'm not saying that. I feel for this child. That this whole situation sucks. However, we are placing a heart within a school system that, let's be honest, has no soul, has no heart. The school has rules, and it is a system that they have implemented, and within their structure, within their system, these are the rules, and they're not going to break these rules just because we feel bad for a kid. So I understand the heart behind why this situation is awful for this child, because it is a sad situation, but we can't place all the blame on the school and say they should have done more, because this kid isn't an orphan. He has family.
Yeah,
he
a
has
family friends. That failed him.
Yeah, right.
A family that
Thank
failed
you.
Him.
You're right.
He can't take care of your child. Don't have kids.
That's it, Derek. Thank you.
My friend Melissa on Facebook said, Dex, I hear what you're saying and agree with you. Seems there are many other options that the school could have offered. They chose one that would humiliate or label this kid.
No, that's
Where
because that's the way you
empathy
spun
gone?
It. That's the way you spun
that's
it.
That's the question. Where's your empathy?
Okay.
Where's your compassion?
Here's what the school said. It's $125. You got a couple months to get that together. Sorry, we don't have the money. Okay, so then like the week of graduation, they come back and say we don't have a cap and gown. And the school says, well, we don't have time to order one now. Let's go into the storage. And it even says they went back there to try and find something for him. And all they had left were white gowns. White gown. A white cap and a white gown, which is the color that the girls were going to be wearing. It's not a boy or girl cap and gown other than the color. So the school did try.
Here's what this is what the young man said.
Of course, this is what the kid said.
He said he expressed his financial situation with his school leaders, but instead of help, he feels like he received retaliation. My counselor and my principal went back to the storage room, pulled out a girl's cap and gown and tassel from the year before. See, you took that right there and you, sir, added. Mm. You made it sound like it wasn't that bad. When in reality, they just took him back there. They didn't say anything about, oh, okay, so you didn't order on time, so now we got to go back to, you know, the closet and see what we can find. No, that didn't happen. They just took him back there and said, here you go.
Okay. They gave him an option.
Here you go. Yeah. You're going to have to dress like a girl and walk to receive your diploma. Dress like a girl. If somebody told you to dress like a girl so you could receive your diploma, would you do it? You'd be okay with that? You wouldn't be okay with that. 338-3700 if you want to call in.
No. Thankfully, we got Double J coming on. Oh, man, we still have 10 minutes. Somebody said maybe the school had other options, but when you come looking for help at the last minute, sometimes it's too late. Somebody else said this situation does stink. I'm so glad this society wasn't in place when our country was being founded. We can either learn and be strengthened in adversity or whine about it and play the victim to the media.
Listen, I get it. I feel like we need to prepare for any situation. As a parent, if you can't afford something, you got to plan. You got to prepare. You do whatever it takes to make it happen, you know, for your child, whether it's asking for help from friends and family. whether it's doing a car wash or a bake sale, whether it's this young man mowing lawns.
Right. No, you know? I agree with all of this.
I get it.
I agree with all of this. I agree with everything you're saying. You're right. There should have been other ways. Because you know there is literally zero way that that school gave him like 2 weeks.
Hey, guys, graduation's right around the corner, 2 weeks away. Make sure you get your 125.
You're right, I know. What's the name of the school?
You're attacking me over, you know.
Oh, man. Oh, you can't say that because that's not what happened.
Someone said maybe the school did have a budget set up to help students, but the student came too late. Let's also remember the school budgets aren't always the greatest. Look at our schools in New Mexico, and this is a New Mexico school. Not only is it a New Mexico school, it's a Las Vegas, New Mexico school, where I went. They don't exactly have a wealth of cash just pouring out of fountains.
I get it. This is one kid, though. I feel like it's not that hard to come up with $150. It really isn't. That's the thing. It's looking at the needs around you. You see somebody in need, you try to help them. You do what it takes to help that person who's in need. So this kid doesn't get bullied. So he does get to graduate like every other kid.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's what we should be doing every day.
He earned the right to walk wearing a cap and gown just like every other kid.
No, it's not like every other kid. He's dressed as a girl.
That's weird because every other kid still had to purchase and pony up.
Good for them that their
bucks.
Parents could afford that.
Literally everyone
them.
Else.
Good for them. We don't know the whole situation of why and how late. We don't have that.
You're
so
right.
You can't say that. You can't speculate that.
I'm not speculating, but plenty of people are chiming in that, hey, man, you know for a long time whether or not you're graduating. You can prepare for that. Schools should encourage students. In fact, somebody just chimed in and said schools should encourage students to donate their cap and gown back after graduation just for instances like this.
It almost sounds like, though, and it doesn't come out and say it, but it almost sounds like he did. He went to the school and he told them about his financial situation. It doesn't say when he did that, but he did express and tell them about his financial situation, and the school leaders, they didn't do anything to help him. They retaliated and gave him a girl's cap and gown. So that's what I would like to know. I mean, that's the biggest thing in this story is like, well, when did he go? Was it a couple weeks before the order forms had to be filled out and put in? Or was it on the day that he needed to get him? Like, that's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I got your back, Aiden. I'm making a Facebook page right now for you.
By the way, someone in the know as far as ordering caps and gowns who may have some inside information on that says, if you miss the ordering deadline for the cap and gown, you can't just go order another one. If you miss the deadline, you can't order another one. So even if he missed the deadline because he couldn't afford it and then went to the school after the deadline and said, hey, I couldn't order a cap and gown, there is literally nothing the school can do about it because the deadline is there for a reason. Thank you, principal of a school who deals with that every single year.
I'm sorry, but I almost feel like you could maybe go to a place like Walmart and you go to the area.
To the cap and gown area?
No, shut up. Let me finish. You go to the area where, let's say, like where you learn, like you get stuff where you sew and you get material.
Oh, wait.
They don't
please
have
keep
the
down this trend.
They don't have
please
that
keep
material.
Going on this. Wait. So you're telling me that you could have gone to Walmart and purchased maybe, I don't know, a red freaking dye to turn your cap and gown
sure,
red instead of white?
Sure, you could have done that too.
Yeah, you could have, kid.
That's exactly
yeah, you
what I'm
could've.
Saying, you dumb.
The kid's
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, but instead, he just protested and held it in his hand because it was white. I'm pretty sure white can dye red really easily, man.
No doubt. I feel like he could have been creative and he could have made this happen. Who knows, though? The school might not have even accepted that. Maybe you would. Maybe there's a rule that says, no, you have to wear this cap and gown. So maybe that doesn't even come into play. But the situation is, this kid decided, I'm going to stand up because I don't feel like this is right. They did not handle the situation right, and I'm going to protest that. Good on this kid, man. That's our right.
Yeah, okay.
It's good on him, man.
I'm going to stop arguing with you because we're going in circles at this point. Because you're right. He had every right to protest. But if the school has a policy that states you cannot walk unless you are wearing your cap and gown. The school also had a right to implement the rule and a right to enforce it by not allowing him to walk.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I feel like, well, first off, your salvation is in question.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
By the way, you can get cheap ones on Amazon. I'm looking.
Right? See, I get it. He could have been creative. There's ways that he could have gotten the cap and gown. It could have happened. But we don't have all the details. We don't know exactly the timeline, how much time he had. We don't know. My whole point is this young man somebody should have looked out for this kid and helped him, because his parents obviously were not helping him. Somebody should have stepped up to the plate and said, this kid is in need. I don't want him to have to walk down the aisle in a girl's gown. So that's all I'm saying is we need to have eyes like that every day when we're out, whatever we're doing. We need to look for the needs of people and try to do what we can. I know we can't do everything, but we need to try to do what we can to help out, whether it's maybe sharing something on Facebook. Maybe you got a few dollars. I don't know. Maybe you can sew and you could actually make the kid a cap and gown really easy. I don't know. Maybe you're good at dyeing things, like you said. Who knows?
Mm.
We all have gifts. This shouldn't have happened. In schools, we see it all the time. They don't handle situations very well.
Right.
Apologize.
No, dude. You're so unreasonable. Oh, man. I love you, buddy.
I love you.
But we're breaking up.
All right. Probably for the best.
It's okay. I didn't realize I was involved with the snowflake at the time.
Oh, wow.
But it's okay. But you know what's going to happen? We're going to break up, and then you're going to play the victim. Like, I was the awful one in our relationship. That's okay.
All right. We have to take a break. When we come back, you don't want to miss this next hour of the show, because our friend Double J, he did a morning show here for quite a few years in Albuquerque, and he'll be on the show to talk about the recent passing of his son, Michael. Yeah. And we're going to talk organ donation. We're going to talk gun safety. Don't want to miss the next hour. We'll be right back. Steven Christian and Gloria at Star 88. Dex and Steve-O, 804.
Is Steve-O and Dex?
What?
Can we just start a new trend?
I'll dump you.
I mean, if I'm going to remain on this show with you.
Okay.
I feel like I'm entitled.
Yeah, if you could just do
my name.
Traffic guy. Come on.
My name.
Let's go.
Hi to Dave, 92 degrees. Oh. Traffic! Well, unfortunately, got an accident to report on the off-ramp at I-40 East right at Carlisle. That's exit 160. Again, an accident on the off-ramp I-40 East at Carlisle. Exit 160, jamming everything up there. And a little congestion happening on I-25 southbound right at Paseo del Norte as you head out towards the Big I. Normal congestion, though, so a little slow going. But we good, yo, we good. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Double J, everybody. He's here.
Yes, dude.
Our friend Double J.
Hey, is that my theme song, Return of the Mac?
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah,
much,
I
like, man.
Did I nail it? I like did I nail that. It?
No, because my wife's probably listening right now, so not so much Mac.
It's been a minute since you've been here, man. What you been up to?
Well, this morning I was in the cap and gown section in Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to fix that kid up a cap and gown. Are you guys divorcing or what?
Yeah, this might be the last show.
Right
pretty
now?
Much, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Legal separation yeah. But, you know, it's not permanent yet.
I was driving up 4th Street, and when you said, go to Walmart, I literally started laughing out loud. I said, this guy, like, you're just going to go to Walmart to the cap and gown
honestly,
section.
Wouldn't be surprised if they had them.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference between Dexter and I. Mm. We love each other greatly, but when it comes to arguments, he's
don't kind you of, show the people behind the curtain.
No.
Okay.
I wasn't right. No. I was just gonna say he's all heart and I'm like a lawyer. I'm all, I want facts. I want to know, you know what I mean? And to him, facts don't matter. Like, none of this matters. And
Steve-O, you're backpedaling right now.
He just goes off on heart.
Steve-O's backpedaling right now.
No. I'm not backpedaling at all. I'm pro-school, yo. Like,
oh, wow. So let me get this straight. So the kid doesn't get a cap and gown.
Yeah.
Because I tuned in like halfway through the
conversation. Which, by the way, we had multiple people chime in and saying, guess what? At the end of your junior year, you received a packet.
Right.
You had a whole year to purchase a cap and gown.
In fairness, it is New Mexico school, so do we know that he knew how to read?
Thank you. Thank you. There's so many things that we don't know.
Just saying.
All right, KRQE, you did not do a very good job of giving us all
you can't
the details.
Blast the man, but
sorry.
You're right.
You're very right. They did not do a good job.
But here's what it is in a nutshell. This young man, he's graduating. Mm-hmm. His parents apparently couldn't afford the cap and gown, which is like $150.
That's horrible.
And so he went to the school.
Wait until after the deadline.
Doesn't say that in the story.
Wait until after the deadline.
Doesn't say that in the story. He went to the school, told the school about his financial situation. Mm-hmm. They said,
this is all we've got because it's graduation tomorrow.
We'll take it down the hall. Let's see if we can find one that's in storage. They had a girl's cap, gown, and tassel.
Yeah, but in fairness.
Oh, Double J, I love you so much right now.
Listen, you cannot tell a guy.
Right.
You have to walk down.
Thank you.
In a woman's cap.
No, he didn't have to.
Yeah, but
then you don't walk.
Sometimes, you know, somebody told I, you know, and let me say this. My years on radio, I'll say it. I've been a jerk. You know,
there are times never where, even heard that.
There's times where I've been, I've probably been a lot meaner than I should have, and a lot of it was for show. But there were some times I was genuinely irritated.
What? We never do anything for show. I'm genuinely a jerk.
But there's, you know, somebody once told me I was being a jerk one day about something, and I said, "Well, the rules say this." And this general manager pulled me aside and said, "Hey, let me tell you something. Rules are always meant to be broken." They can always be bent. Mm. They can always be broken.
Preach it. Yeah.
And I don't know. I just look at it like if it was my son.
Yeah.
And we couldn't afford anything. And I've been there where I literally have no money.
Right.
Like nothing. You can't afford that. Then sometimes you bend the rules and say, okay, hey, you know what?
Bend the rules. But we also talked about, you know, as a parent, you say, all right, son, let's go mow some lawns, you know? Let's do a bake sale. Let's figure out a way where you can raise the money.
Can I just bring up another question?
You know?
You don't see too many lawns in New Mexico.
You don't, especially Las Vegas, New Mexico, which is where this happens.
So you're going to rake the rocks?
Do a GoFundMe page. You know, I mean, I know some people are against that, but this is a situation where it's like, you don't have the money. $150 should be raised in 30 minutes.
He already graduated?
Yeah, it's over. And that's the thing.
Did they make him walk in the gown?
No.
No, he protested.
He protested by holding it so they wouldn't let him on the stage to receive. They gave him his diploma, not on the stage.
Yeah. He should have just went out and got like a big flowing white dress just to make him look stupid and put that on and just went, okay, you guys want to make me walk in a girl's outfit? Here comes Caitlyn Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Somebody chimed in and said, as a music teacher, we wear concert uniforms for all of our concerts. Students have the financial hardship of purchasing said uniforms. We communicate that early and are always able to be accommodated. However, students that call the night before a concert saying they do not have the uniform, we don't have any options for them. They just do not take part in that concert.
I get that. We don't know the details.
The lead singer?
We don't know.
They don't take part, I guess.
Like this.
Because here's the thing. Same
enjoy
with,
the piano
dude, my
solo.
Sons,
sorry, yeah. He doesn't have to.
Yeah,
sorry,
no, for real. Yeah, my sons play club baseball. And that is stupid expensive. And it's constantly like, we are slinging candy bars, or we're at this car wash at Walgreens this week. Right. We are always out at an event doing something, some kind of fundraising, but it's given them an understanding that, dude, this costs, and your uniforms this year are $350.
And I think
we don't have that.
I think sometimes we lose sight of that. Like when you walk into Walmart and they're begging you for money.
Yeah,
like,
man.
I'm talking about the Girl Scouts. Right. And I'm not trying to be mean when I say this, but when I walk in, and I walk out, and I tell you, you know, I give you a dollar. Don't hit me up again when I walk out and ask me for $5. Yeah. You know, sometimes it goes a little overboard.
Well, I mean, you know.
But I think it does. I never looked at it like that. It does teach the kids responsibility.
Absolutely,
hey,
man.
This stuff costs a lot of money.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's move on to what's happening in your life. But real quick, tell everybody, for those who don't know who you are, you did radio here in Albuquerque for how many years?
I did a morning show for 5 years.
Five years.
Here.
On 106.7?
106.7.
which is now defunct.
Mm.
I think it's the river.
Yeah, it's the
I
river.
Know what it is. Is it good?
You know, Dream is
I haven't listened to it. I've been back for a couple weeks, but
like,
I haven't listened
to it. Actually, I really enjoy the format. It's really, it's like good. It's good.
That's cool. Hey, I mean, hey, if it's good music, it's good music.
Depends on who you talk to, but I'm
like, I'll be honest. You know, I used to go on the air and rail on certain people on, you know, Kiss 97.3, but I have nothing personal against any of those people. I think they're all wonderful people. It's it's show business. It's all smoke and mirrors and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to ever show people behind the curtain, Steve-O. He does it all the time.
No,
he shows people the wizard.
What are you
man.
Talking about? Okay, you got to be careful when you say that.
I'm kidding.
Can I make a bet with your listeners?
Yeah.
You guys are going to be on that divorce TV show.
Ooh.
With the judge telling each other's side. Right?
Yes. Well, that would be amazing. So, yeah. So, and then you you left Albuquerque last year. You moved to California.
I moved to California to go program a couple radio stations and was out there for about a year. And I just, you know, it... how do I say this? It put a strain on, I don't want to say my marriage, but it just, it was a lot to work with. Mm. my wife missed home. I missed home. I call Albuquerque home.
Yeah. You know,
I absolutely love Albuquerque. And so after about a year, I just resigned. You know, I just said, you know, this is not right for me.
Mm.
You know, we're going to move back to Albuquerque. And I had been in Albuquerque for a day. Excuse me. And I was going to go play some golf. And I was driving up Montgomery, and I got this phone call. And it was from my son's aunt. And she calls up, and she's like, that's weird. She never calls me. So I answer the phone, and she says, she's crying. She's like, hey, Jared, there's been an accident. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, there was an accident with Michael. And I said, well, what kind? I'm thinking, you know, there was a car accident. You know, there was an accident at school or something, you know. And she says, you know, he was playing with a gun. And I'm surprised I didn't hit any cars. Like, I legit lost it.
Yeah.
I was driving up Montgomery and screaming. I've never felt anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
Like the immediate anger, the immediate rage that you feel when you hear something like that.
Yeah.
And so I called my wife. I said, I need you to come get me. I can't drive.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on the side of, now I'm on Montaño, right there by McDonald's. And that anger came over me again, you know. I started driving. My wife is calling me, and she's like, where are you? I can't find you. I'm just driving. Now I'm just bawling my eyes out, you know, driving up and down the street. My son's mom called me, and she says, it's all my fault. I can't believe this happened. And I'm fuming mad, obviously. Mm. And I'm yelling at her, like, what is going on? Turns out they didn't notify me for 2 hours. No one called me for 2 hours. And I think because they were trying, this is just my personal feeling, and I'm not trying to attack them, but I think they were trying to maybe hope that it wasn't as bad as the reports first come, you know, first happen. And she says they have him on life support. And we don't think he's going to make it. And we want to fly. They want to fly him from, because this happened in Stockton, California. She said they want to fly him to Sacramento, to UC Davis Children's Hospital, which is one of the best hospitals in all of California. She goes, but he's not going to make it. So I just don't think that I'm going to allow him to fly him there. And that, again, that enraged feeling came over me. And I just started screaming, and you do everything you can. You put him on that helicopter, fly him to UC Davis. So I went back to the house and got the next flight out of the Sunport. And, you know, I was talking to my wife when we landed in Salt Lake City. It's weird the things that you remember, you know?
Yeah.
I was talking to my wife in Salt Lake City, and
there was this guy. I don't know who he was. I wish I would have got his name. He was the most kindest man I've ever met in my life. And I guess he overheard what was going on. And I kept noticing him looking at me as we were getting on the plane. So we land in Sacramento. And he says, he comes up to me and he says, hey, I hope you don't mind, but I overheard what you were talking about. And, do you need anything? Do you want some money? I'm like, yeah, I look like a hobo. I get it. I get it. I look like a hobo. He goes, do you want some dinner? You just need to talk to somebody. Like, he truly was the kindest man.
Yeah.
And, I did, you know, I told him no. And so I go out and my daughter picked me up at the airport in Sacramento. And we went to the hospital and, man, walking into that room is so surreal because, you know, I was telling my wife, it's bad. You know, it's bad. And she was, so you can't give up hope. You can't give up hope. You have to pray for him. You can't be like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, it's bad. And, so the doctors came in that night and, the doctors pulled me and Michael's mom to the side and started telling us we're going to run these tests on him. And what had happened was his mom and stepdad left an unlocked firearm.
How old was Michael?
13.
Hmm.
Next week he'd be 14. And left an unlocked firearm in the house. And I will tell you... I don't care how good you think your kids are.
Yeah, man.
Michael was my baby. Michael was my best friend, my buddy. And it's something that I would have thought would never, ever do.
Yeah.
I don't care how good you think your kids are. Lock your guns up. Something that I would have thought he would have never done.
Yeah.
Just touching a gun. But to play around with it.
Yeah.
And, what we found out was he was on Snapchat. Snapchat or Instagram or one of those. He was streaming live or something. I think Instagram. And he had found their gun. And was sitting at the kitchen table playing with it on Instagram. And he heard a car pull up. And he said, oh, I think my mom's home. And I guess he had the gun in his hand and his elbow hit the table and the gun went off. Man. And shot him in the head. And it wasn't his mom. It wasn't his stepdad. It was his sister coming home from lunch. And she never came home for lunch. That day she decided, I'm going to go home for lunch and check on Michael.
Wow.
So as she was walking up to the house, she heard the gunshot. And she came in and found him slumped over the kitchen table. It's something that you would never think happens to you.
Yeah.
For years, I read stories on the radio about this happening to other parents. And I would say, how stupid are you to not lock up your guns?
Yeah.
How stupid are you? And I don't mean that in a mean way. But you have to be so arrogant and ignorant to leave an unlocked firearm in your house when you have kids.
Yeah.
When I was 13 years old, I went through my parents' drawers. If you think that your 13 and 14 year old kid is not going through your drawers when you are not home, you are not living in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After my son passed away, I found some pictures of my son of things that he had gone through my wife and I's drawers. Mm. Obviously, we didn't have a gun unlocked, you know. Yeah. But, you know, he was taking pictures of, like holding my wife's bra up or something. You know? Right, he's a 13-year-old boy. He's like, ha, 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 ha. Right. You know? Yeah. And so, I mean, that's one thing I really wanted to touch base on was if you have a gun, I don't care if it's a rifle.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a machine gun. I don't care if it's a shotgun, if it's a handgun. If you think that your child is not going to touch a gun when what do you see on TV? And I'm not blaming because I really don't like those conspiracy theories where you hear,
right?
Oh, it's the violence is because of this movie. But if you think about it, about it, these kids are playing Call of Duty,
right?
They're playing, you know, all these different games, mm-hmm. which I don't think there's anything wrong with these kids playing.
Sure.
That. But when you're 12, 13, 14 years old, even 8, 9 years old,
yeah.
and you play some of these games, then you see a gun.
Yeah. Right.
It's, let me tell you something. If your kid doesn't want to touch that and is not interested.
Right.
You may want to get them tested for something.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's just natural curiosity, I think.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And maybe it's me because I grew up in Montana and my dad has, I mean, hundreds, possibly thousands of guns. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But, not only should you lock them up like my father did, but he taught us at a young age how to handle a weapon.
Exactly.
Like at a young age, I was 6 years old. My dad was teaching me to never point the gun at anybody. Keep it pointed to the ground. Never put your hand on the trigger unless you're ready to shoot.
Yep.
Those are things that you teach your kids. And man, it.
Well, I think. And again, I'm not here to rail on Michael's mom.
Sure.
My ex. But I can speak for my wife. My wife and I, my family and I feel had they locked that gun up, my son would still be alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would still be alive.
Right.
And I want every parent to know.
Yeah.
It's the most excruciating pain you will ever feel. I can't explain what it feels like.
Yeah.
From the first time you see him to when you're actually burying your baby.
Yeah.
It's something that makes you reevaluate your entire life.
Right.
And you don't know what you're going to do, how you're going to get through it. You don't know what you're going to do from one day to the next. Yeah, after my son passed away, I moved out to Nashville. I was out there for a couple months and doing some radio. And I just had to come home. I got offered a gig doing some writing. So I'm doing some writing for some people and producing some stuff. But it's just one of those things where, you know, I get these messages all the time on Facebook from people that are like, hey, I hope you come back on the radio.
Yeah.
I have to take my life one day at a time, you know, that way I don't turn into some raging alcoholic pill popper again,
right?
Because I've gone down that road before and it's not a road that's an easy, it's not easy to come off that crooked road and go back on the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
But, it has been, an incredible journey. You know, we were at the hospital. And so this doctor comes in and says, we're going to run a test on him to see if he's brain dead. And the gunshot went in through the side of his head and came out the other side. We found out that after the bullet went off, he dropped immediately.
Yeah. Was this on Instagram live when it happened? Everything? Oh, my gosh.
Wow. And I guess some of his friends were saying, hey, you know, put the gun away. At least that's what they say.
Right.
They were saying, hey, put the gun away. Of course they were. Of course, none of them called the police. None of them called his mom. None of them called me. So I don't know how honest that,
right.
that really is. Do you have some tissue?
Here.
Sorry. I don't know how honest that that really is, because I think when things happen, you know, everybody wants to go, we tried to help them.
Yeah. Right. Which is a lot of times more unhelpful than helpful. It's like they're just searching for the right thing to say or something that they think will make you feel better. And which, by the way, real quick, I want to let everyone know, facebook.com/star88fm. If you go there, Project Child Safe is a national program, and nationwide, I mean, this is their number one concern is the safety of your children in your home with a gun. And so it's a program to promote gun safety, to promote education, and they provide free gun safety kits to everyone. So there are many places in Albuquerque, many places in Las Cruces, many places all around the nation. So I'm going to put this up on our Facebook page so you can get one for free. It's a free gun safety kit, as well as some great resources as far as not only managing it for yourself as an adult, but gun safety programs for your children. Because if you're going to have one in your house, as Double J is saying, man, not only is education important, but you got to lock that up. So facebook.com/star88fm.
I will tell you, again, last guy in the world that would have thought Michael would have played with a gun. I'm just as guilty.
Yeah.
As everybody else thinking, oh, my son won't play with a gun. I was just as arrogant and just as blinded until it happened to me.
Right.
And I promise you, if that ever, God forbid, that ever happens to you, you will remember this day that we are telling you, go buy a gun lock.
Right. Yep.
And it's free. You don't even have to buy it. Listen, they're providing it for free right now, I'm telling you.
Yeah. If you're joining us right now, Double J, he's joining us, and he's sharing a story of his son Michael, who passed away in March, who was at home, and he knew where the gun was at.
Well, and that's the thing, you know. My other son, who was who's 15, told me, said, "Dad, we knew there was a gun in the house."
Sure.
And I didn't find out until a couple days after Michael had passed away that it was a couple years before. I remember Michael being in grounded, but I was trying to get a hold of him for literally 2 weeks. And you know, when you're a parent who lives in another state, you know, it's very easy to judge and say, oh, well, you should have just called the police. You can't. I mean, I guess you can.
Yeah.
But after a while, they just stop taking you seriously.
Right.
And maybe that's what I should have done. I've made mistakes as a parent. You know, in hindsight, I wish there was more I did.
Right. I think we all feel that way as a parent.
But so I found out a couple days after he died that this time where I was trying to get hold of him for 2 weeks, found out that his mom and stepdad, they were all at a park. And Michael was in the car with his friend, just playing around in the car. And they looked over and they found him. He was 11 years old. They found him playing with a handgun because his stepdad stupidly kept a firearm in his car. By the way, no permit, nothing, of course.
Yeah, a lot of people do
I'm sorry. That, no, excuse me for
so,
saying that. Sorry.
So many people do that.
No. I call Dex an idiot all the time for like dumb reasons. You can totally call this guy an idiot for a real reason.
Yeah.
So
that's
it's foolishness.
I didn't find this out. Yeah. I didn't find this out.
Yeah.
Until a couple days after my son passed away. And when I asked
my son.
Hey, man,
I'm glad you're not in prison. Hey, Double J, I love you, man. I'm serious. I'm glad you're not in prison. Because I have a father. I am a father of a 13-year-old, and he's one of my best buds on the entire planet. And I'm seriously, I'm proud of you, man. Seriously.
It was, I think it was the day after I found out this news.
Yeah.
About him in the park playing with a gun. My mom and dad live in Fresno. My dad had to go to Bakersfield for something. And it was this really important meeting that he had to be in. And he wakes me up, and it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. And he says, listen, I got to drive down to Bakersfield. But I'm not going anywhere until you tell me you're not going to drive up to Stockton.
Mm.
And I said, I can't promise you that, Dad.
Yeah.
I can't promise you that.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, then I'm not going anywhere. I don't care if I lose out on this deal. I don't care if I lose all this business. I'm not going anywhere because I'm not going to allow you to go do something that sends you to prison for the rest of your life because you have other kids that you need to be here for.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that hit, you know, that really hit me. You know, people have been telling me that the entire time.
Right.
But when you're going through this emotional roller coaster,
right,
people tell you things and it goes, sometimes it goes in one ear and right out the other.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really hit me. And I told my dad, I said, all right, I'll make you that promise.
Yeah.
He didn't go to Bakersfield because he didn't believe me.
That's good, Dad.
I know, right?
So, you know, when we found out back to about the gun, we found out that he had been playing with this gun. I guess they looked over and saw him playing with the gun. They ran over there. And instead of a parent who would take the gun and sit them down and say, listen, if you ever see a gun, you can't play with it. This isn't a video game. This is real.
Right.
I found out a couple days after my son passed away that this happened. And they took everything away from him for 2 weeks. They took every toy, the TV, every book, everything away from my son for 2 weeks. It made him sit in a room at 11 years old, sit in a room by himself for 2 weeks. When I found that, now you see why my dad said, I'm not going to Bakersfield.
Right,
because when you find out this kind of stuff, and it's like, you know, my son, I thought, told me everything.
Yeah.
And can you imagine what he must have been told to not tell Dad, hey, they took everything away from me. Hey, I was grounded because I was playing with a gun.
Right.
What he told me was, I got in trouble at school because I kept talking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm grounded for 2 weeks. Like, I called my kid's mom. I go, don't you think that's a little excessive? He's 11.
Yeah.
Like, have a talk with him. Tell him stop talking.
Right.
Don't ground a kid that long.
Mm.
But anyways. So again, I'm not here to rail on her. I'm not trying to do that, but it just kind of all leads into.
This is the first time that you are like publicly expressing.
I've never talked about
this.
It. You know, I mean, people have asked. There's only a handful of people who before today knew what happened to my son.
Yeah,
and it just wasn't something that I was ready to share yet.
I understand that.
And you're not alone. There's so many people chiming in right now, Facebook Live. In fact, David chimed in and said, Jay, your story brings back memories of our loss of our daughter at the age of 15, bringing them to tears right now. And so many people chiming in, just, man, praying for strength, for comfort, for peace.
I love your heart right now because your heart is that you want so badly for parents to wake up and realize, gosh, don't be an idiot. If you have a gun, you lock it up. Because there's so many people out there right now listening that they don't have the gun locked up. It's sitting out there.
You have no idea how many times I literally laid on my son's grave screaming, come back to me. Just come back to me. I didn't want you to come back to me. But you can't. It's not going to happen. Crazy thing is, you know, sometimes I see kids. You know, my son had a certain... So he walked on his tippy toes when he was a baby, and when he got older, he did. Sometimes I see kids... And I have to take a double take because it reminds me of my son.
Gosh.
That's why you have to put a gun lock on your guns.
Yeah. You have to. You have to. If you have a weapon in your house, you have to lock it up. You have to teach your kids how to handle a weapon. You have to do it. You got to take the time to do it. But lock it up. That's the number one thing. It's lock the gun up if you have children in your house. Because we, everybody at that age, all of us, especially boys, we're curious. And what when they when mom and dad say don't do something, we do it when they're not around. That's what we do. That's why you got to lock it up.
And that's why education is so important. Because I think a lot of times as parents, we tell them, don't do this. Well, why? Because I said so. And because I said so, guys.
One of the worst things you can tell your
kid. Terrible. Mm. It's not a good enough answer. You educate them on the dangers.
Unless they're smacking their lips. Then you can go, because I said so, stop smacking your lips. It's gross.
Man. But too often we just... We're too busy, we're too lazy, we're too whatever, we just, and that goes with so many areas of life as a parent.
You know, as a parent, something like this happens, you sit back and you think about, the good times, the bad times. You know, I don't believe, and I've, anybody who's ever listened to me on the radio for years knows I don't believe in spanking your kids. I just personally don't believe in that. I think too many parents, I think it sends a mixed message when you say don't hit a kid at school and then they're at home and you're hitting them. To me, that's a mixed message. Yeah. But, to each their own, whatever, I also know spare the rod, you spoil the child. But, I used to, boys would fight. I watched something. I think it was actually a story I talked about one time where this dad put the kids in one sweater and made them sit in the sweater all day. They had to do everything all day in one sweater. And I thought that was great.
Yeah.
And it was great until after my son passed away and I saw this picture of him and his brother in the sweater and they looked so unhappy. And I felt so bad.
Yeah.
And I was just like, there's got to be a better way. Like, what an idiot I was for doing that. Like, at the time, I thought, okay, hey, it's kind of funny. It embarrasses them. But then, you know what? After an hour, they go, all right, hey, we're sorry. We'll get along. Okay, cool. Right. Sweater comes off.
Yeah.
But, when you're dealing with these kinds of things, you think about the good times. You think about the bad times. When I was driving out to Nashville, I had left Albuquerque. It was after my son's funeral. Yeah, in Amarillo, there used to be this water park in Amarillo right off the 40. And I started thinking about it. I have this video of my son going down this slide, and my wife and I are cheering him on. And no, I wouldn't even go down the slide because it was so big. He was 12 years old, and he gets on there, and he gets embarrassed, and he's got that goofy little walk when he gets off, and we're cheering him on and stuff. And I think I started crying like 10 minutes before Amarillo. And I cried all the way through Amarillo, like just bawled my eyes out as I'm going down I-40. And then I saw the big Texan Steakhouse and I just thought, oh, I just wanted to see that water park.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see that. And the ironic thing is, when I was coming back to Albuquerque, I've been back in town for about a week and a half. And it's gone. Now it's something that's like a music venue something, but the whole water park is gone.
Yeah.
I know it sounds weird, but it kind of gave me a little piece. It's just like, because you consider, my wife, who's been my rock, my kids, my wife have been my rock.
Yeah.
My mom and dad. My wife, we'll see some days that I'm depressed. And there's days that every day she's the most loving, caring woman. But then there's other days where she'll go, hey, get up. What are you doing? Come on. Uh-uh. We're not doing this today. Mm. Come on. Get up. Go out to the wildlife park or go up to the top of Sandia's or, take a drive somewhere.
That's great.
But, there's so many things that, when a parent, I know I'm kind of all over the place.
No, this is great, man. Share just you. This is real. Mm-hmm. People need to hear this.
So the doctors pulled us aside. It's the first night that it happened. And I'm at UC Davis, Sacramento. And the doctor said, listen, we're going to do these tests on your son. See if he has any brain function left. And, I said, okay. And they said, we don't think that there's any brain function there.
And I said, well, you know, what do the tests consist of? And she says, we do some tests where, like, we take our knuckles and we rub really hard on his sternum, his chest. And that'll get some type of reaction. Some, even if their fingers move, something.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. I said, what else? She said, we pinch the inside of his legs, his upper thighs. And I said, why do you do that? And she said, because that's where it hurts. I couldn't be in the room for that. I couldn't be in the room to watch that. I didn't want to admit.
Yeah.
That my son was brain dead. And I went outside the room and I couldn't go in there and watch that. My mom and dad were in the room and they were doing that. And my mom came out just pawing her eyes out. It was like 2 a.m. And the doctor came out and, you know, gave me the results that there was no movement at all from him. And I said, well, you know, what else did you do? You know, she said, we take cold water and we squirt it in his ear. And the cold water hitting the eardrum will make anybody move. And there was nothing. She said, I was shouting his name right in his ear. But nothing. They had a male nurse come in and scream his name in his ear. Nothing. So they said, under California state law, they have to do 2 separate tests before they can declare somebody brain dead.
Yeah.
And they have to give a certain amount of time between each test. And then they have different doctors that come in and do the tests. And so the next day, I was holding my son's hand. And I could feel his muscles tightening up. Not squeezing my hand, I mean, just... You know, if you take your fingers and you push on them, they move freely. His fingers were always like that. Now they were kind of curled up. Ever since he was a baby, I would take my finger and lightly play with the inside of his palm. And as he started getting older, he started realizing that it would tickle him and irritate him.
Yeah.
And I did this for years. And every time he would say, Daddy, Daddy, don't stop. I still, after the first test, I didn't want to accept that my son was brain dead.
If you're just joining us, our friend Double J is with us, and he's sharing what his last 3 months have been like since his since the passing of his son Michael, and he was playing with a gun. He was home alone playing with a gun, and it went off and shot him in the head. Guys, you gotta lock your guns up.
Facebook.com/star88fm. Gosh. I got to remind people, I posted this to our Facebook page. It's called Project Child Safe. If you would like resources on education, as well as a free safety kit. It's a free kit, man. It comes with the gun lock. everything you need. And yes, there's so many places, not just in Albuquerque, but looking at it, Bernalillo, Santa Fe, Las Cruces, Angel Fire. I mean, seriously, there's so many places in New Mexico and all over the nation. That is the largest gun safety project for children. So man, if you own a firearm, please get there, check it out, and use these resources.
Now, through this tragedy, talk about, I mean, this, I don't know.
Let me tell you this story. When I started rubbing the inside of my son's hand,
yeah,
it had always irritated him. And so we had already had one doctor tell us that my son was brain dead and that he was not, in her words, this is not a survivable injury. But you, as a parent, you don't want to accept that. You don't want to believe that. You believe, wait, this is my boy. Yeah. My boy is tough. My boy is strong. He will pull through this. So the next day, my wife went down, I think, to get us something to eat or something to drink. And my daughter and my dad were in the room. And I was holding my son's hand, and I was playing with the inside of his palm, like I had been for years. And his hand twitched. I can't explain to you how much joy that makes you feel.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because they said there was no movement at all. He will never move again. He will never move again. And I said, well, what if he does? They said, if he does, then that shows some form of brain function. And then we will not take him off life support. So his hand twitched. And I looked at my dad and my daughter and I said, did you see that? I said, what? I said, watch this. So I started rubbing the inside of his palm again. And his hand twitched again. And they were like, oh my gosh. So my daughter went out and got a nurse and doing it, and his hand is twitching. So it was about 8 hours before they did the next test. So now this new doctor comes in, this male doctor, and he says, tells us what the tests are. And I just said, I don't want to be in that room. I can't be in the room watching them do that to my son. And so I went in the privacy room. I could hear the doctor yelling Michael's name, trying to get him to respond. And a little while later, they get us in this room and they say, they tell us, you know, this is the second test now that we've done, and there's been zero reaction from him. Nothing. And I said, no, I can't be, because I was rubbing his hand earlier and his hand was twitching. And the doctor said, it's not possible. And I said, I'm telling you what happened.
Yeah.
My daughter was there. My dad was there. We went and got a nurse saw it. And he goes, it's not possible. He said, look at me. I am telling you what my son did. And he said, come show me right now. Come show me right now. So it's probably 11 o'clock at night. So I walked in there, and my nickname for Michael was Keiko Michaels. And so I grabbed his hand, and I started rubbing the inside of his hand. And I said, hey, Keiko Michaels is dead. Move your hand for me. Nothing. I had hope, though. I said, come on, Michael, just move your hand once. I tried to tickle and irritate his hand in so many different ways. You know. And that's when it hit me. That's when it hit me for the first time that I was going to have to bury my son.
and the doctor came over. I was crying on the bed. I was like, come on, okay, go back. Let's just move just a little bit. And the doctor came, put his arms, his hands on my shoulders. He was like, I'm so sorry. And that's when we had to make the decision. Well, not right then, but yeah. It was the next day that we teamed up. we talked with this organization called Sierra Donor Services. And it's for any parent who's listening who's been through this. You know, out of a tragedy, at least you can feel maybe we can help some people.
Right.
But they sit you down and they go over a list of things. That you have to answer whether or not you want to donate. You know, when they get to, do you want to donate your son's eyeballs? Do you want to donate his skin? Do you want to donate his legs? And now there may be people listening going, why are you saying this on the radio? I'll tell you why. Because you lock up your stinking guns.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to be a parent that is going through the exact same thing that we went through.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you see your kid on a ventilator and their hands, their muscles in their body are tightening up because they're gone. They're not, they're alive, but they're not there. They're gone.
Yeah.
It makes you, for me, it makes me really angry inside.
Yeah.
And it's something that I'm still working on. I'm a human being. But it also makes me feel happy for other people. For people that my son helped save. You know, my son played football. And when we donated his organs. It's funny, I got this list in front of me that I got from Sierra Donor Services. And, you know, it's so surreal when you read these, you know, these letters that they send you.
Yeah.
My son passed away March 14th. And my birthday was March 15th. And when we walked him down to the operating room, and they let us say our final goodbyes to him, you know, those people at UC Davis in Sacramento, incredibly passionate and caring people, and they told us, write a letter. Write a letter and they have different teams from different hospitals that come in to do these organ, take the organs, you know, and write a letter because before each doctor starts working on your son, they will read the letter. They would read the letter to everybody in the room to let them know this was somebody's son. This is somebody that was loved and cared for.
Yeah.
You know, I walked out of that hospital that day, March 14th. My son is in surgery, and it's crazy because, you know, my son was at UNM when his appendix ruptured. And the people at UNM were amazing, especially the children's hospital there. Amazing. And when he was in surgery, you sit there and you wait.
Yeah.
This was different. This was a surgery that my son, that you know the outcome. Like, you know the outcome of the surgery is your baby is not coming out of that surgery.
Yeah.
And I was walking out of the hospital and I had my arm around my wife and my daughter. And I said, tomorrow's going to be the worst birthday ever. My birthday was March 15th. And my daughter looked at me and said, but you have to think about this. Next year is going to be the best birthday ever. And I said, why is that? And she said, because the people at the Sierra Donor Services said, you usually have to wait a year before you can meet the recipients. Like, they want the recipients to wait a year before they meet. Because, you know, sometimes these organ recipients, they feel guilt.
Sure.
They feel sadness.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a, it was a shining moment on, you know, the worst day personally for me.
Yeah.
So I got this letter from Sierra Donor Services, and we're going to talk with that lady, right?
Yeah.
We'll call her, I guess, in a minute.
Yeah.
Also. Yeah. But my son played football and his jersey number was 5. That's why if anybody that follows me on Instagram or Facebook, you know, you'll see, sometimes I'll post hashtag number 5.
Yeah.
My son saved the lives of 5 strangers. Organs that were transplanted were my son's heart, his lung, liver, pancreas, and his right and left kidneys. And it's crazy because you go, he's only 13 years old. Like, who does he help?
Yeah.
Does he help only kids? Does he help adults? His heart went to a 14-year-old boy in San Francisco. His right kidney was gifted to a 36-year-old man from Sacramento. And he's married. They have 2 children, 13 and 10 years old.
Wow.
His left kidney and pancreas were gifted to a 45-year-old female who was also in Sacramento. And it's funny that, you know, they put little things about the people. And they say, she enjoys spending time outside. The recipient has 7 emus, 13 chickens, 3 border collies, and 5 cats.
Wow.
And I just thought, oh, great, crazy cat lady. I'm sorry, cat friends. I'm sorry, cat friends. And then finally, his liver was given to a 35-year-old man who happened to be a football coach.
Yeah.
Mm. Not only happened to be a football coach, but Michael played for the Lodi Titans. And he played in the junior Lodi Titans.
Hmm.
Or the varsity Lodi Titans. And this coach happened to be a coach for the Titans, but he coached a younger age group.
Yeah.
So, I never really thought about like how important organ donation was.
Right. Yeah. That just you reading that off. I mean, he saved lives, you know?
My daughter got to meet the football coach who got my son's liver. He had stage 3 cancer. And they gave him 3 years to live. He was number 5,000 on the liver transplant waiting list.
Wow.
They say it would have taken about 6 years for him to get a liver. In other words, he would have passed away.
Yeah.
And my son would have graduated from eighth grade a couple days ago. And the man who received my son's liver went on stage and accepted his diploma for him.
Let me pause just for a quick legal that we have to get to. And Double J is joining us right now, talking about his son Michael, who recently passed away in March. We're trying to get the word out, and we want you guys to share this message. Lock your guns up. If you have a weapon at home, if you have a gun, you lock it up. Michael, 13 years old, he was at home alone. He got to the gun. He was playing with it, and it went off, and he's not with us anymore.
I will promise you this. If you don't lock your guns up, sure, something might not happen. You may be that lucky.
Yeah.
But in the one in a million chance that your kid does find that gun and start playing with it, are those odds you really want to take?
Right.
Because I would rather a kid find the gun and it have a lock on it and they can't do anything and they're playing with it and they get caught than getting a phone call that your son has just shot himself in the head, because it's something that I don't know if I'll ever get over it. I don't know how I'll deal with it later on this afternoon. I might be fine. I promise you. And it wasn't even a gun in my house. It didn't even happen at my house. It happened at my kid's mom's house. My wife and I were here in New Mexico. My son would be out here right now spending the summer with us had they only locked the stinking gun up.
Let's pause for 30 seconds. Young Brothers, Man Up, it's Star 88, Dex and Steve-O, Double J. Our friend Double J.
I like that song.
You probably remember Double J. He was on the radio here.
A couple minutes.
And he's back sharing a story with us.
I'm done crying, by the way.
No, man. Done crying. No, this is a message that needs to be told. We need to remind everyone how important it is to lock your guns up. If you have a gun at your house, you have to lock it up. Double J's son, Michael, 13 years old. He passed away in March. He was at home alone. He knew where the gun was at, and he was playing with it. It went off, and he's gone. And
it really is a nightmare. Yeah, sometimes I have these dreams where they're just horrible dreams.
Yeah.
And then you wake up thinking, oh, it was only a dream. But then you realize, as cliche as this sounds, it's not a dream. It's real. Yeah. Like, my baby is no longer here. But through, this tragedy.
Yeah.
While it could have been avoided, in my opinion, there were five lives that were saved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the other important message that I want to really get out to people around New Mexico and anybody listening, wherever you're listening, how important organ donation is.
Right. Yeah.
Because I truly did not realize, I guess, the feeling that you get, the proud feeling yet sad. Maybe Deanna can help explain this.
Joining us right now is Deanna Santana from Sierra Donor Services. Good morning, Deanna.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on so that we can talk about, as Double J was saying, the only good thing that can come out of tragedy.
Yeah. Man, we've been talking about this and the five lives that were saved. And, I mean, it's been an emotional morning, obviously, thus far. And
I'm sure.
Yeah. And we wanted to wrap about this aspect of it, because it's not something that, especially for a family, while you're going through a tragedy, in that moment, your brain is not focused on selflessly saving other people's lives. You are very rightly thinking about your family member. But we need to talk about this now so that, you know, we can be prepared. So, man, again, thank you so much, Sienna, for hanging out with us. And talk a little bit about this, because I don't think people realize the importance of organ donation to begin with.
So for me, a really good starting point is to talk about you're far more likely to need a transplant in your life and rather than die in a way that, like Michael did, that you can be an organ donor. So I always say, I actually found Sierra Donor Services exactly the same way Double J did, was that my son was an organ donor in 2011. And I would have done, as I know Double J would have done, absolutely anything to have one more hour, one more minute, one more week, one more summer with my son. And so I looked at donation, and I know a lot of other families did, do, as this is a chance that I can prevent another family from having to go through what I'm walking through today. And, you know, there's 117,000 people in the United States waiting for a life-saving transplant, and 20 of those people will die today waiting for a life-saving organ because there aren't enough organs available for transplant today. You know, which is why I went to work for Sierra Donor Services and why my partner, Maria, who's on vacation right now in New Mexico, does the hard work that she does in New Mexico. There's 469 people who live in New Mexico that are waiting for a kidney transplant today. Man. You know, and one out of three of them, sadly, won't get their transplant before they pass away.
Right.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's one organ too. We're talking about you know.
Right. In New Mexico there's only one transplant center and it does kidneys. So if you live in New Mexico and you need a heart or a liver or lungs, you have to go to Arizona or Texas or Colorado to be waitlisted on their transplant list.
Oh wow.
So I don't know the exact number of New Mexicans that are waiting for a life-saving organ. But I know that they're there. I know a friend who lives in New Mexico who her dad got a heart transplant. So I know that there's lots of people that are waiting for other organs other than kidneys. And there were 65 people in New Mexico last year who said yes to donation in the hospitals when they passed away.
Wow.
So how does it work for the people that are listening right now that are like, you know what, I want to be an organ donor?
Can I just say something really quick?
Yep.
You know, people like Deanna truly do help you with this process. And the people at Sierra Donor Services in California, and I think the one here in New Mexico is New Mexico Donor Services. Is that correct?
Yep.
And Donate Life NM is the website for
right.
that.
Yeah, yep. Donate Life NM. But they really are the most compassionate people. And like Deanna said, they've gone through this.
Yeah.
And while it's tough, like I had talked about, you know, when they sit you down and they ask you, do you want to donate your son's eyes? That is a gut-wrenching, horrible thing to hear. But it's something that you have to sit back and think. And you know, when my kid's mom and I were discussing this with Sierra Donor Services, you know, they were so incredibly compassionate.
Yeah.
And I want people to know that. Because for me personally, that is very important, that somebody is compassionate when you're hurting, when you feel like you can't take anymore and you feel like you're going to break down, to have somebody
beside your wife or your mom or a kid that will give you some sort of compassion. For me personally, helped me so much. So I just wanted to say
that. A lifeline.
It really is a lifeline, because you really start, you go through all these emotions. I'll admit it. I'll say it. I contemplated suicide. I contemplated leaving and never talking to anybody ever again. I did. And it's talking to people that helps you get through it.
Yeah.
And people like that work at Sierra Donor Services, they help you. People like Deanna help you get through these incredible. And it's been 3 months. Today is 3 months that my son passed away. I'm sure this goes on for forever.
Yeah.
You know, I
wish I could say it ended. It ends, but it doesn't.
Yeah. You know, when we took turns at the hospital. My kid's mom and I, and my family. We had some friends that came up, and we went out, and I was just like, I need a drink. I need a drink right now. So I went to the bar and was talking to this guy. It turns out his son had passed away. And there was a reason, I think, that I went in there. Me and this guy text all the time.
Yeah.
This guy is 72 years old. And me and him are texting each other all the time about our kids. If I'm having a bad day, I'll just text him. He'll call just, hey, how are you, Jared?
Yeah.
But it's people like that, people like Deanna, people that work with these organizations that help you get through this process. And then in the end, when you get a letter in the mail or you meet these people, which I haven't had the chance to meet personally yet. My daughter met the liver recipient.
Yeah.
But when you realize your kid is a hero.
Yeah.
Your child saved somebody's life. To me, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an honor for us that we get to be with families when they're in their most vulnerable time. And, you know, for us to be able to be present through families going through, you know, I like to call it the most generous act on earth is, you know, in the worst moment of your life, you're able to, for just a moment, think of somebody else. Is the it's the best of humanity,
right? Yeah,
and you know, it's not difficult for an adult to join the. You said the website. If they go online, it takes about 5 minutes. You can do it when you go to the Department of Motor Vehicles and register. And then the most important thing too is have conversations with your family so that you don't have to second guess what your family wanted, and you know what their wishes were. It makes that process that Michael's mom and dad had to go through just a little bit easier when you know that you're doing exactly what your loved ones wished.
Absolutely. And that website, again, is donatelifenm.org here in New Mexico. And as you mentioned, an easy process, only takes a few minutes to sign up. And let's be real, man. Scripture talks about the fact that we are not promised tomorrow, you know, so we can put it off. And in this situation, obviously, Double J, you guys were able to have some time to discuss it, to talk over it, right? In the hospital, you guys are, not everybody even has that option.
No.
You know, you think of people whose lives tragically were taken in a car accident or something. And in that moment, these responders only have so much time. So, you know, for us adults, it's so important. It's so very, very important. So I would highly recommend everybody to get to donatelifenm.org, because these stories are phenomenal. Hearing the lives that are saved by this. So,
well, you know, I was talking to, you know, because something, you know, had upset me last week, and I was saying Deanna really talked me down off a ledge, you know, and again, it's going to happen. You know, these things happen. Yeah. Deanna really talked me down off a ledge. And yeah, you know, one of the things that, and maybe Deanna, maybe you can talk about this, writing letters to the people who receive your organs, or your not your organs, but your child's organs, your family member's organs. Deanna, will you tell them what you told me about, you know, maybe a good starting point would be
not to feel guilty.
Yeah, so you know, oftentimes when somebody has received a life-saving transplant, it's very easy for them to feel guilty that they're living and the person who donated those organs has passed. And it's sort of a logical, I heard you talk about faith. So from a human perspective, it's very easy to see that I'm alive and this person died for me. In reality, you know, Michael's family knows, my family knows, anybody who's walked through donation knows, my son, Michael, died, and then they were able to become a donor, and that's the good thing. But a recipient doesn't always know that, so they have something that we call, you know, recipient guilt. And so I completely encourage every recipient to write to their donor family, you know, even to just say something as simple as thank you. And then also on the donor family side, you are encouraged and welcome to write to your loved one's recipients and say, we're grateful that Michael had the opportunity to donate. It gives us something good to remember on the worst day of our lives. And that sort of helps ease that transition that sometimes goes towards a donor family and a recipient might meet. Sometimes it doesn't. Some donor families aren't ever prepared for that, and some recipients aren't ever prepared for that. But writing letters through the organization that facilitated the donation or the transplant is a beautiful way to sort of start that process and open that door to see if both sides are to a point that they're able to do that.
Yeah, you know, my dad was telling me the story a couple days ago that he went to see his heart doctor, and we didn't know this about him, but his son had passed away, or daughter had passed away, and she was they donated her organs, and a man got his daughter's heart, and the doctor told my dad, it's been 10 years now, and I know it sounds mean, but I don't want to meet that person because I'm not ready yet to meet that person. So I think it goes on both sides. But for me personally, like when I see – like I saw a picture of my daughter with a man who's got my son's liver.
Yeah.
I thought that was amazing. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to meet these other people if they choose to meet me.
Sure.
To meet my mom, to meet my dad, to meet my wife, to meet all my kids.
Yeah.
Because that is an amazing thing. You know, a couple of days before my son passed, before he went in for his final surgery, the people at UC Davis, Sacramento, came in with a teddy bear. And it had ultrasound, some type of ultrasound recording where you could get a heartbeat and record a heartbeat. And recorded this heartbeat, and then they put it inside the bear. And then you can squeeze the bear, and I can hear my son's heartbeat. It's weird because I can't wait to meet these people and hug them. I hope I one day am able to meet the 14-year-old boy who has my son's heart, because I want to hug him, because I'll be able to hug my son again.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be able to give my baby a hug.
Yeah.
But
when it happens, it's an amazing gift. And, you know, one of the things, too, that just feeds into that recipients feel an obligation, and I have met, because of the work that I do with Sierra Donor Services, I've been fortunate to meet hundreds of people who have received the gift of life. They all live most of them that I met have lived in a state of such gratitude that it's never lost on them. The reason why they volunteer for us is to try and repay a gift that, frankly, how can you ever repay, right?
Right. Yeah.
And so the amount of gratitude that they have is so great, and sometimes they're so afraid to reach out to donor families because they feel like they're never going to live up to the expectation. You know, so I always tell people that, you know, you're standing, you're walking, you're breathing, you've met a donor family's expectation. Because that's, you know, we donate so that you can do that. So, you know, if there's recipients out there that are feeling, you know, like, I haven't done enough, or I've not. We have one amazing, she's a liver recipient. She's an older lady, and she blows bubbles everywhere she goes for her donor, who was a young girl. Everything she experiences new in her life, she takes this little thing of bubbles and blows bubbles. But she says, I feel like I don't deserve to meet my donor family because I haven't climbed Mount Kilimanjaro or anything like that. And I said, Linda, you're doing all these amazing things. Mm. You know, every just being alive is amazing for all of these recipients. So that would be the other thing that I would tell them.
We have Deanna Santana from Sierra Donor Services on the phone. Steve-O, give some of those information again, because we posted it on our Facebook
page.
Yeah,
we did. DonateLifeNM.org. Kim just chimed in actually on our Facebook Live and said, I just registered there. It took about 30 seconds and posted the link for it to remind everybody. It's quick. It's easy. And, guys, we're not taking them with us, right? No. Talks about that in Scripture as well, right? So, yeah.
You know, if you can help save a life,
yeah,
why wouldn't you?
Right.
You know, that's one of the things. You know, and that's one of the things me and Michael's mom discussed. And we don't discuss much on good terms, but that's one thing where we agreed on. It took a minute,
sure,
but finally she was like, "Okay, so listen, why not help someone else? Michael is gone."
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do. No amount of cards hanging on the wall are going to bring him back. No amount of kissing his hand is going to bring him back. No amount of hugs is going to take that ventilator. It's going to get him off the ventilator.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Why not help somebody else?
Yeah.
And that was a decision that we made. And now today, sure, it hurts talking about it. And like I said earlier, I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't think I'll ever get over it.
Yeah.
No.
But it's something that, again, when you read this, a heart gifted to a 14-year-old boy, a lung gifted to a 69-year-old man. My 13-year-old boy helped a 69-year-old man who was probably a grandfather live a little longer.
Yeah.
I love that. And yeah. I think that is a beautiful way of life, giving back life.
Yeah. Thank you so much for what you do, Deanna. Thank you so much.
It's my honor. It's our whole, we picked this field of work, like I said, because it's the best of humanity.
Yeah.
And we're honored to walk in alongside families like Double J's and Michael's.
Beautiful. Thank you so much again for being on the show. We appreciate you.
Thank you for sharing the journey.
Thank you again, Deanna, for everything.
Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Deanna Santana from Sierra Donor Services.
And by the way, can I just say the New Mexico Donor Services, she would have been joining us, but she is out on leave and she won't be back until for a couple more weeks.
Yeah.
And she's actually out of the country. So that's why we had Deanna come on. And like I said, Deanna has helped me tremendously. You know, I saw some things on TV last week that really upset me. And you know, I was on a ledge.
Yeah.
You know, not like, oh, I'm going to go commit suicide, but I was just really angry, and I just felt all these emotions building up, and I didn't want to take it out on my wife when she got home from work.
Yeah.
That's not fair to her. And so I called them, and Deanna called me back and talked to me and was so genuine.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you talk to people, you can feel they're just – kind of, yeah, okay, I'm sorry for your loss.
Well, she's been through it.
Exactly. And even people that haven't been through this, you know, like I said, I get messages on my Facebook page all the time from people, all the time, comments all the time. Hey, you know what? I'm so sorry. Everything, we're praying for you. You know, there's days that I have just really rough times.
Yeah.
Really rough days. And, you know, my wife will remind me, do you know how many people are praying for you? Do you know how many people are in your corner?
Yeah.
Because there's days that honestly, I feel like I have nothing. There's days that I feel like I've lost everything. And I don't know why that is, because I haven't lost everything. But there's days that you feel like that.
Right.
We got to realize, man, how many lives are potentially being saved in this moment. We've had so many people chiming in with whether purchasing gun locks or,
Like Amanda just chimed in to let us know that she literally just ordered a gun safe.
Wow.
Incredible show this morning. Thank you so much for sharing, Double J. Ernest Chimer said, as a military parent, I've always felt I've trained my children on the importance of gun safety, but after being a part of your life this morning, I'll be locking up all of my firearms as well as removing vital functioning parts of the arms not in use and locking them up separately. So that's just a couple. You know what I mean?
I promise you, parents.
Yeah.
You know, I've never been more genuine to you in my life.
Yeah.
You do not want to go through what my wife and I and our family have been going through for the last 3 months.
Right.
It is. It's torture.
Yeah.
It's hell.
Yeah.
If I can imagine what that would be, I'm sure hell's worse, but you get my point.
Yeah.
We understand. Yeah. I'm like,
you know,
you don't have to.
Hell. I'm like,
you're
on no brimstone might be a little worse.
Yeah, I'm like, Double J, you're straight grieving, man. You can say whatever you want right now, and it doesn't even matter. Trust me. We are just going to love you.
Yeah.
I promise you, parents. A free gun lock?
Yeah.
A free gun lock. To lock your firearm up. I never thought in a million years that I would be included as a statistic or that my son would be included as a statistic.
Yeah.
And I know at some point next year, I'm going to read a story about X many children were killed by firearms in 2017.
Right.
And that statistic is one of those is going to be my son. And I don't want it to be your son, your daughter, your grandchild, your nephew, your niece. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Even if you have to go to freaking Walmart, not to the cap and gown section like Dex was talking about earlier.
I love you so much.
I was like, is this the moment? Do I drop the cap and gown? No, this isn't the time,
section at Walmart.
I can't joke about this. I'm so glad you did.
Even if you go to Walmart and pick up a lock and put that lock on a case,
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, man.
Because trust me, covering that gun case up with a pillow or hiding it under the bed or in a drawer underneath your underwear or your socks or all your t-shirts or all your pants. Right. Trust me.
Yeah.
I was 13 years old once. I went through my parents' drawers. Right. I found things that I'm still embarrassed of today.
Yeah. And especially now that it's summertime, you're at work right now. Your kids are at home. I'm telling you, if you don't have a lock on your gun, I would leave work now.
Absolutely.
And go home and you take care of it now because kids are curious.
Kids
are doing things that you don't know.
There was a story here a few years ago that happened. And yeah, I've been thinking about that story in particular this morning over and over again. Every time we bring up gun locks, there was a young boy who was disturbed, you know, and he absolutely needed some help.
Yeah.
But he killed his mom, his dad, his sisters. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That could have been prevented if the parents had locked their guns up. Mm. That was their gun. My son would be alive if his mom and stepdad had locked their gun up.
Yeah.
He would be here right now. We would be mocking you over your cap and gown in the Walmart section more.
Beautiful.
Lock your guns up. It is not worth the absolute soul torture.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
I have a broken heart. My wife has a broken heart. My kids all have a broken heart. You know, my stepson. Yesterday we were talking and he said, we were talking about going treasure hunting because I got a stupid metal detector.
Oh, can I go with you?
Dad gave me this metal detector to get my, you know, mind off things. And so I told my stepsons yesterday, I said, hey, we're going to go treasure hunting.
Love it.
And, my stepson Cal said, it's too bad Michael can't go with us. God. He's 8 years old. And I said, yeah, I know, bud. I go, do you know where Michael's at? And he goes, he's in heaven. Mm. Michael's in heaven right now.
Yeah.
What do you do? You give that kid a hug because he understands.
Yeah.
He understands.
Right.
And if an 8-year-old understands that his brother isn't here because somebody didn't put a lock on a gun.
Right.
Then you as an adult should understand. And can I just say this? I may be wrong, but I'm 95, 98% sure I'm not. You know, California has very strict gun laws.
Right.
Which the district attorney is still investigating whether charges will be brought against my son's mom and her husband. Which rightly so. Absolutely. But here in New Mexico, laws aren't that strict.
Right. Yeah.
And this isn't just about get yourself a gun lock. Let me tell you something. These legislators, if there's anybody who knows, you should email your legislators. You should email your congressman. Screw Jeff Sessions and what he's talking about in D.C. Hey, Heinrich, how about you do something here and change the laws here in New Mexico and make parents more accountable for gun crimes that their kids commit or deaths that happen by firearms because a parent was negligent.
Right.
Because here in New Mexico, you will go through a living hell if this ever happens to you personally. But I think criminally you won't. And right. That to me, that's a little disgusting. And I'm not for, you know, all these gun debates. I don't care if you want a firearm, own a firearm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this is coming from a dad whose kid died by a firearm.
Right. Yeah.
If right. you want a firearm, absolutely own a firearm. But you better have that thing locked up.
Yeah.
And if you don't and you're that negligent that you leave an unlocked firearm in your house, guess what? Your kid ain't dumb. They know how to load a firearm whether you showed them or not.
Right. Yeah.
It's not difficult to open up a barrel and put a bullet in there.
Right.
And if your kid hurts someone else or hurts themselves, you should be held responsible for that. And here in New Mexico, I don't think that is the case.
Right.
Right.
Hey, I want to remind people, not only did we post resources on Facebook, facebook.com/star88FM, where you can get a free gun lock, but our friends at Calibers here locally in Albuquerque, they offer free gun locks. You
good
just have
Calibers.
To go to one of their beautiful. Stores, see if they have them available. I remember the Starmy chimed in and said, I've gotten 4 of them
wow.
for all of my weapons. Did I mention they're free?
They're free, guys.
So you don't even have to wait to go online again, and get a safety kit for a few days. Go to,
look at the family.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was slaughtered by their own son. I think he was 14 years old when he did it. That family, first off, the kid's life is I feel for that kid. And some people make it mad at me for saying that. Double J, how dare you say that? I feel bad for that kid because one day, if he hasn't already, it's going to hit him so hard on his mom is never coming back. Dad is never coming back. I think sister, and I think there was even a brother, are never coming back because of what he did. Yeah. And he'll have to live with that. But that family would still be here had they only got free gun locks from where? Calibers?
Yeah.
Or any other gun store that carries gun locks. Go in there and ask them, hey, you guys have free gun locks?
Yeah.
Right.
Where can I get one? I'm sure every firearm store here in New Mexico knows where to get free gun locks.
Yep.
Steve-O knows.
Yeah.
What's a website that you can go to?
Well, I just posted it, facebook.com/star88FM, if you'd like to get there and check it out. But it's, projectchildsafe.org.
Yeah. Sorry for breaking down some of
this. No, don't apologize.
I told myself.
Are you kidding me?
I'm so glad you apologized, though, because I was like, gosh, this is. I just hope he doesn't cry again. Shut up, man. Are you kidding me?
I do want to say something on a more serious note.
Yeah.
I can't take it.
No, not a more serious note, but on a serious note.
Like, what more do you have for us, Double J?
I would just personally, you know, when you go through something, sometimes tragedies can change you.
Yeah.
And over the last few months, I've had time to reflect on things that I personally have done to people. People that I have worked with in the past, people that I've just ran into. And I just want to say to anybody that is listening, I apologize as a man. I apologize. That's what I can do for my first step.
is admit where I was wrong. I'm sorry for what I have done. I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'm sorry as a human being.
Yeah.
You didn't deserve to be treated in a way that I treated you. And these people know who I'm talking about. I apologize. I was too arrogant, too prideful to apologize. It was always my way or the highway. Sometimes you take a step back and reflect and go, man, I was a jerk.
Yeah.
And even times where I don't think I was a jerk. Yeah. I will tell you, somebody, when I lost my job here in Albuquerque, there was one person in particular who was pretty vicious on Facebook about me. And, I never responded. But this person, when my son passed away, reached out to me. This person was not working, had no money, donated money.
Mm-hmm.
Sent me a message and just said, hey, if you ever need to talk, I'm here for you. And that really made me look at things and go, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Trivial arguments, trivial disagreements. And you know what? If you don't want to forgive me for wrongs that I've done, I'm okay with that. Because I'm at peace for apologizing. I'm at peace with myself. Some of these people I don't know how to get a hold of. But you never know when life is going to end. And you don't want to be that person that went deep down inside you go, yeah, that person was a good person. But then they pass away and you didn't have the opportunity. Right. Hey, this is stupid. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'll be the bigger person. I'm sorry.
We're hanging out with Double J right now. If you'd like to chime in, 585 Live, you can text into the show. We're also on Facebook Live. You can watch, you can listen to the show. And just a reminder, too, if you're on Facebook, if you missed any of the past hour and a half of the show, you can go back after we upload the video on Facebook. I recommend you guys share this video on Facebook to everybody because we are saving lives. We've already had people chiming in saying, I just got my gun lock. You know, yeah. I'm doing it today.
I've never been more real in my life. I told my wife last night, I said, all the years I've been doing radio, 23 years now, all the years on the radio, I've had some moments where I felt good for things I've done, you know, helping Carlene and her family. I think that felt good as a human being. Told my wife last night, I said, Amanda, tomorrow morning will be the most meaningful time I've ever spent on the radio.
Mm.
Because, you know, usually when I'm on the radio, it's an act.
Mm.
It's Double J, the personality. This is just Jared this morning.
Yeah.
This is me. This is who I am. I'm a dad. I'm a grieving father. I'm a husband trying to hold things together, not doing a very good job at it some days. I'm a human being that makes mistakes. I'm a human being that gets angry, that has passion. But overall, I'm just a human being that makes mistakes. And I don't want you and your family to make the same mistake and you be in the situation that my family is in now. Because it's the most gruesome, gut-wrenching thing you will ever go through in your life. You know, it's... when my grandfather passed away, it was sad. It was sad.
Yeah.
But it was expected. You know, when you're 85 years old, 90 years old, you know what's coming. But when you get a phone call that your 13-year-old son accidentally shot himself in the head and he's on life support and he's probably not going to make it, you don't expect that.
Right.
And when it all could be prevented by a simple gun lock that, as Steve-O said, is free.
It's free.
A lot of you can get free gun locks.
Calibers.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Go to Calibers. You can get them online. I'm sure there's probably so many places around town.
Let me tell you something. KOB, Channel 4, KRQE, KOAT,
they should all be doing stories on what is the punishment for a parent here in New Mexico who allows access to a child with a firearm and they commit a crime.
Yeah.
Or someone gets hurt. They accidentally shoot themselves. They accidentally shoot a sibling, even if they don't die. I'm pretty sure KOB, Channel 4, KOAT, KRQE, you would all find that that law disgusts you.
Right.
Because it's pretty lenient here in New Mexico, and that is sad.
Right.
And you may go, well, you know, Double J, we got our rights. That's right. You do have your rights. But your kid also has a right to live. Your kid also has a right to go to college. I'll never see my baby graduate. I'll never see him go to college. He won't ever play another football game. All because a firearm wasn't locked up.
You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to lock your gun, to lock it up, put it in a safe. And if you can't be responsible enough, then you shouldn't own a firearm. That's just that's the reality of it.
Man, I'm telling you, I cannot express to you how much I knew as a dad, I was sure my kid knows not to play with that.
Right.
My kid knows not to play around with that until you get that phone call.
Right.
And your whole world shatters. It really opens your mind up. It opens your eyes up and goes, wow, my baby, who would come to me and snitch on his brother every time his brother would push him or hit him. He would kick his brother and then run into the room and go, Dad, Jared's hit me.
Yeah.
And I would go, I just saw you kick him. No, I didn't, Dad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was sure he would never play with a gun.
Mm.
But he did. And he is dead. He is no longer here. And it all could be prevented by a gun lock.
338-3700 if you'd like to call in. Take the last bit of the show if you'd like to call in or text in at 585-LIVE. Or you can go to Facebook Live at *88. And go like us if you haven't yet and leave a comment. Okay, thank you very
Thanks.
Much.
Thanks for holding.
338-3700.
Your patience is appreciated. Members of the Starmie chiming in. I keep most of my guns in a gun safe, but I have one of them in my closet for home protection. I have two small children. I will be going straight after work and buying a lock for that gun today.
Good for you.
Yeah, people chiming in. Shandy says, what a powerful message. By sharing your story, Michael is saving many more lives through prevention than you will ever hear about. Thank you so much. Derek said, I listen to you every day, but this is one of the best, most informative shows I've heard, and the message is so heartfelt. Thanks for all you guys do. Thank you for keeping it real. Thanks for sharing, Double J. Prayers for you. So many people praying for you, man. And, whew. Yeah.
Is there anything else we can do for you guys? What else can we do?
Give me a job. No.
No, for real. No.
Give me a job.
You know how many people who's have hiring? Chimed in saying, dude, who's he needs to be your there? Third.
Yeah. Who's hiring
what,
out there?
What can we do? Be honest with us right now. I mean,
I
we have
he
a
just
whole,
was.
Be, we have a whole.
I was pretty honest right now. I was pretty. I listen, I'm doing some writing yeah. and some producing right now, but I need a job. My wife is like, hey, sitting around playing video games during the day. Come on.
That's
right.
a job?
Yeah.
I'm right. 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 I'm
that's
like,
hard work,
how am I
going
to get into the top 10,000 if I don't play all the time?
Yeah. And of course, Double J, he's done radio for years. He's one of the greats. He really is. Not only
he's
on
sitting
the air,
right next to you, man.
But he's your production is just at the top.
I appreciate that.
You can do it all. And
marketing?
Hmm?
Marketing
sure.
whiz?
Right?
Hmm? Yeah. People in marketing?
So
now it's turned into a job. Yeah. A job begging session.
Okay. 338-3700. Okay, thank you.
Thank
for
you
holding.
For holding. Man, everybody's so patient.
Everybody's
this morning.
Impatient.
Yeah. It's cool,
is it,
man.
I'm sorry, what's that scripture? Patience is a virtue?
No, I was going to say love is patient, love is kind. That's 1 Corinthians, but...
Well, how do you know that? Like, how do you... Like, I don't know, people probably don't know this about me. You know, I went to church 7 days a week.
Yeah, you shared your story last year. It was incredible.
7 days a week. And on Sunday, 3 times a day. For years.
Yeah.
How do you know where that scripture is?
Because every wedding you've literally ever been to in your entire life is like, and now here's the love scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient. Yeah.
Do you when the preacher starts doing that, like, do you mouth it along with him and kind of bob your head up and down?
And then you're like, boring, love is great. We've heard this. Get some new material. No, I'm just kidding. But real, no, you know what? And there's certain things that I cling to, like talking about wanting to get real.
I just got a hug.
That's my boy Steven. Okay, he's just coming in. Hugs.
I just got a hug. Thanks, Steven.
But nice truly, shirt. You know, we're getting real this morning. I'll tell you one thing that drives me crazy is, which is hilarious because I'm the obnoxious one on the show.
He's so obnoxious.
But as a Christian, I'm tired of having to apologize for other Christians. You know what I mean? And so there's this incredible verse. I'm going to go ahead and tell you where it's found in the book of John. John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus is talking with the disciples and he says, a new command I give to you, right? There's all these commands. There's like so many. It's like, hey, don't kill. Don't do these. No adultery. No, right. Hey, let's not do this. No, thou shalt not steal. And it's all of these.
Wait, you're not supposed to steal? Hold on. Let me put the soda back.
Is that my wallet? Yeah. And yet Jesus talks about this and says, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And Jesus, like, this dude laid down his life for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's how much love he had. He sacrificed himself. He died. So, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. Not like love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's like, hey, love others as I have loved you. This is the new command. And it goes on to say that by this, like by your love, all men will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. But instead, we turned it into by our way we vote politically, by our bumper stickers, by the words we speak, by the what that mean nothing. And it should be by our love. So anytime it does come to like love in scripture, I want to cling to that because in 1 Corinthians 13, that's where Paul also talks about how if you have all wisdom and knowledge, but have not love, then you're nothing.
Then you That was me.
Nothing.
No, but that was me.
Yeah.
Like Mr. Know-it-all.
Yeah,
Mr. Know-it-all.
And that means, I'm sorry, Double J, but that means crap.
You're right.
In scripture.
And that is why
That's
why I publicly apologize to people that I've hurt. Because I have.
I love you, man.
Yeah. I've been a jerk. And I apologize. I don't want to say their names on the radio. And I don't think that's fair to them.
Sure.
But you know who you are.
Yeah.
And I apologize to you. If I see you out, I'll come up and give you a hug, man. Shake your hand. Yeah. You know, I'm a man. I make mistakes. And this has been, the last 3 months have just been a crazy, incredible time that makes you sit back and reevaluate what you're doing with your life. And I never thought that I would think that I haven't given to the community. But I don't think that I've given enough to this community. That's just how I personally feel.
Yeah. Thank you so much for holding. Good morning.
What's up, Dex? This is Sean, man.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, so I was just listening to it on the way into work today, and I just recently in the last month I had a friend, Antoinette, that got hit by a police car with her two children in the back of the vehicle. And I'll never forget the call that morning, and I went to the ICU, the PICU, and man, it was just hard. It was hard, but her little son, Joel, passed away, and they donated his organs. And a 20-year-old girl in Arizona got his heart. I'm not sure where the rest of the organs went. I think there was a liver and all that stuff, but it was just such a blessing to know that he... Through the tragedy, he actually saved a life.
Right. His life lives on.
It does. Yeah.
Exactly. And it honestly brings tears to my eyes, but pretty amazing.
Yeah, man. Thank you for calling and sharing that, man.
Of course, brother.
Yeah. 585 Live if you want to text in, or 338-3700 if you'd like to call us.
I'm like, don't look at me, man. I've been like quiet so much because I'm like, I can't, I'm not crying. Y'all,
he's the crier.
Y'all, right.
You've been sitting over there quiet.
You got to know like,
he's the crier.
How hard this is.
Let me tell you something.
Because I am.
I'm covered cool. in tattoos.
Right.
And, you know, for years I talked about this on the radio.
You're so tough.
I watched a Justin Bieber movie.
Never Say Never?
Yes.
That's what I heard it's called. I've never seen it.
Yeah. No, yeah. No. I watched the Justin Drew Bieber movie. Yes, I know his middle name. And people would make fun of me because I cried while watching that. And my old co-host Lindsay said to me, "What? Why did you cry when you watched that?" And now I guess, you know, in hindsight, I'm not going to cry right now. In hindsight, I guess it means a little more now.
Right.
Because when his dad, Justin Bieber, had sold out Madison Square Garden. God, this is so stupid we're talking about this. But
No, it's not, though.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Steve. Okay, so when he sold out Madison Square Garden super quick, and his dad walked into Madison Square Garden, and his dad started crying because he was so proud of his son.
Right. Yeah.
That made me, like, when I was watching, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm crying watching Justin Drew Bieber's Never Say Never.
Yeah.
But, you know, and now in hindsight, it's like, you know, unfortunately, I'll never get to know the greatness that my son could have been. Mm. I just know he's a hero and saved five lives.
Yeah, man. So actually, that's wrong. You are wrong, sir. You will know the great. You will know the greatness because you are sharing the greatness because your son saved five lives. Okay. Yeah. Five human beings are still walking around breathing in oxygen because of his organs.
Yeah.
So that is Michael's legacy. That is his greatness, right? Here on earth. To the tens of thousands of people listening to the radio right now who are affected, who are buying gun locks, who are buying gun safes, to the people who have signed up to be organ donors now, like you may not actually see directly the impact of every single life that potentially has been saved this morning as a result of it, but this is honoring Michael's legacy.
Yeah.
So you won't see him sell at Madison Square Garden. You're not going to see him go to Walmart to get his cap and gown.
Beautiful.
You are going to see human beings walking around. Man, that's it. And that's all. That's you don't have to like, if there's one thing that we all do when we grieve, and man, scripture talks greatly about it. There is a time to grieve. There's a time to mourn. And I think so greatly about my Savior when he found out that one of his friends died, Lazarus, and it just said Jesus wept. Like he just wept. He saw his friends around him like crying and he wept bitterly because people were hurting. Man. It's okay to grieve, but it's not okay to like beat yourself up and say that you don't see those things because they're present all around. And I see it. I see it right now. And I think we've all seen it. I think we've all seen the impact. And I think we all see the power.
Yeah.
So you cannot allow yourself to do that. No more of that. No days of that.
Right.
No days of that. You get out of freaking bed and you can still play video games in your boxers, but like, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, you're supposed to wear boxers. Note to self.
I love you, Double J.
Note to self.
Seriously. Woo! Thank you so much, man, for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having
being
me.
Being real, and
we are out of show.
If you're looking for a job, but you're always welcome here. If you want to come in, you need to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Come and do the show with us.
Mm. You can even do it in your boxers, and yes, you have to have your boxers.
You'd have to sit over
Wait,
there.
Wait, so the lady at the receptionist, I'm telling you, because if you tell me I can come in my boxers and that receptionist up there calls the police on me, it's on you, Steve-O.
Oh, but it'd be hilarious morning content, so...
Oh, I will call you collect from jail. Hello, you have a collect call from an MDC inmate.
Double J, get me!